Randy Savage, you seem very focused. Halloween Havoc is going to happen out there on the 27th of October. However, you're going to be facing Hulk Hogan at that event, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, a man we know about the past between you and him. But Randy Savage, before that, you've got a gigantic task coming up on the 15th of this month against the 7'4" giant, a man that, well, you think did not carry his load, because he's the man that lost the title to Hollywood Hogan, the WCW heavyweight title.
First of all, I wish Halloween Havoc was tonight.
I think these people would concur with that line of thinking.
Because I guarantee to you and to all the zillions of people around the world and the universe that I am going to beat up Hollywood Hulk Hogan and take away everything that he wants, because that makes me happy.
Randy Savage, you know, there are those that are talking right now behind closed doors about your mental state. Some people are saying that you are living on the edge right now, that you're not too mentally stable.
I'm living on the edge. And if anybody out here is not living on the edge, you're taking up too much room. Giant! I made a deal with you. You made a deal with me. You broke your promise. You couldn't handle the pressure. Bottom line, I take over starting now. You are meat. And I'm guaranteeing victory against the Giant and Hollywood Hulk Hogan. I like the pressure on me. I operate better that way.
Should I be calling Las Vegas? Should I be calling one of the sports books out there? Can I put money down? You guarantee victory?
Las Vegas is my new home.
Both men?
Both men will melt when the heat of the Macho Man brings them all the way down. Oh, yeah!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. He's predicting victory, not only against Hollywood Hogan at Halloween Havoc, but also the Giant at Fall Brawl. Gentlemen, let's go back to you.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
The whole world is a stage now. Man, we look good up there. We're styling, man. We don't have to sneak around anymore. We don't have to hide in the shadows. The NWO, way to go, guys. We are the champions of the world. We've got the NWO belt. We left the giant land, and now the whole WCW is going to fall at our feet.
We hit a home run.
After I beat that big, nasty giant to the WCW belt and turned it into our belt, you know, the NWO belt, he was crying. And then a couple days later, I beat the so-called dirtiest player in the game. He was crying, too. The WCW, the World Crybaby Wrestlers, doesn't work anymore. In war games with the WCW's finest, the so-called establishment of the WCW, in the cage with us, brother, Sting will be stung. Woo! All my little stingers just doesn't work anymore. Luger will be hung. Flair won't even be there. Woo! In styling and profiling, you shouldn't brag about that. And Arn won't be Arn anymore, brother. Because the NWO will take care of all the NWO business on that day. You should gotta change with the times, man. But when we get you in the cage, brothers, we're gonna bring you up to speed, just like my two friends brought me up to speed. I know what works now. You gotta take what you want. You gotta bond together for business reasons only. Sting, Luger, Arn, and Flair. The way you guys bonded, the way you guys made a deal, it was touching. It made me cry a little bit.
But it was real. Real weak. I mean, to see you guys out there appeasing each other, talking about what you've been through together, about the old days in the WCW. Well, you know what? Times have changed. What you gonna do in War Games when the NWO destroys you?
Anything less would be civilized.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
We shook up the world, baby! Is there any question now? Who is the most powerful man in professional wrestling? Is there any question now? What is the most powerful organization in professional wrestling? We got a hold of the giant. We straightened his head out. And now, there's not four, there's not five. Mr. DiBiase, ha, 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 ha. Tell him, big man, I got a phone call while I was sitting home at my modest house. Ted DiBiase called me, and he says, I want to talk to you about business. Can you fly to Florida? I said, yes, I can. Because I am about business. I walked into a 25,000 square foot home. The home of Hulk Hogan. There was that.
Spit on it for me. Spit on it.
When I walked into this house, there wasn't one Harley Davidson in the garage. There were 20 Harley Davidsons. There wasn't one Mercedes. There was five Mercedes, a couple of Vipers. I walked around this big home and got dizzy.
See you later, boys. Come on, big man. Anything less? Come on.
Before I was so rudely interrupted, the point I was getting to is I was dizzy walking around this mansion, a 25,000 square foot mansion.
Brother!
Every time I turned around,
everything
somebody,
I showed you, you can have. You wanted a part in Arnold Schwarzenegger's new movie, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, got it for you. And the bottom line is, brother, just to quote somebody, a stupid little man, whether you like it or whether you don't
like it,
it's the best thing going today. The NWO. Man.
I sit down at a table.
Has been paid for by the New World Order.
You want to kick butt like the NWO? You're either with us or against us. You gotta be wearing the official t-shirt.
Buy this shirt!
All proceeds will go to the Ric Flair Retirement Fund.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the New World Order. The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
The demise of the WCW. First page.
Easy. We're not here for a stinking reason, man. We got a boss with us.
Ted DiBiase.
This is the boss.
Ted DiBiase has more money than Ted Turner. He makes Ted Turner look like a pauper.
Hey, this is his belt.
We've already established who we are.
I'm the world's champion, not the WCW world's champion.
We've already established how powerful we are.
Sure, we hit, then we split.
I'll be the man.
We've taken on our best, and there it is.
Will you guys back me up?
We got your belt.
New World Order. World Heavyweight Championship belt.
It's the rule of the street, right?
You tag it, it's us.
Hey, what about our fifth guy?
I warned everybody.
He did such a great job.
Nobody believed, number one, who the fifth guy was when they signed.
I said, next week he's coming.
The NWO has shaken the WCW to its foundation.
Oh, the rattle.
Whether you like it or you don't like it, the NWO's here to stay. Learn to love it.
It wasn't like it was a big surprise.
Change is inevitable.
You don't like that, you can stick.
They want us so bad, they have agreed to this match.
The question is, just how bad
do you want the NWO?
You know, this just didn't happen in the end.
They don't even know who they're gonna face.
Ted DiBiase, the master plan. It's been around for a long time.
I've done this before, man.
I stuck it to him,
right in the back. Feels good, doesn't it, guys? Doesn't it feel
don't you
good?
Think they would have saw it coming?
I mean, we're just now unloading on you, you know?
It's a battle plan. You go in and you create confusion and chaos.
They want us in that cage. Well, what do we get?
First of all, our own segment on their show.
We don't pay for time. Them.
We want our own. Tag team tournament.
NWO.
We have our own segment. We highlight our talent. We beat you. You pay the bill.
Hey, you know what I think? From now on, we're going to turn it like this because it's NWO for life.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Hey, Gene, take it. I thank you very much, Eric Bischoff. We're back here. All of us very... I guess very mixed up right now. Emotions are running high. Lex Luger, I tried talking to him. He's beside himself. Arn Anderson, for the record, maybe you can sort out what we saw earlier on out in the parking lot here on Nitro.
I'm not disturbed that Luger lost a friend. I'm not sad that I lost a teammate. I guess what I am is standing here in shock because the only constant, Sting, over the last 10 years since they actually bought the company, was you. People went here, people went there, people changed attitudes. The only one thing that you could always count on was Sting. Sting was the constant. I got a sick feeling in my stomach. I'm in shock. I guess the only thing I can say for the first time in my life is I'm out of words. I'm speechless. But Luger, I gotta have an answer.
What the hell is going on? Is everybody selling out these days? Who can you trust?
You want answers from me? I don't have any answers. My best friend in the whole world out there in that stinking, soaking rain just stabbed me in the back, Arn. And you know what? That makes this match the biggest match, right before the biggest match of my career and everybody else is in here. Makes me want to be in that match all the more. It makes me, gives me the incentive that I've wanted. And let me tell you, I'm out of here. Because I know where he lives. I know where he works out. It's our gym! He's been my best friend for 10 years, and I'm going to go find him right now.
You know, I don't know if you can still trust this consortium or not, but maybe you can touch on it very quickly. Ric Flair, we're running short on time. Go ahead.
Me, Gene, to sort all this out! I've stood here! I've listened to it all! I'm sick of it! The confusion is over! We're the horsemen! We're Arn Anderson, we're McMichael, we're Benoit, we're Flair, and if Luger wants to ride, he can ride. We're going to War Games, Hogan, Nash, Hall, Sting, we're going to lock the door of that cage. Four of us will walk out, four of us will pay price that only God will know about, pal. That's it, War Games, we're the horsemen. And Winston-Salem, by God, we're coming to town.
All right. They don't want the spot.
Hollywood.
I'm looking at two right now, chomping at the bit.
Hollywood.
That were dying for it originally. And by God, maybe they'll end up with it. It's a fight to the death. Yours, not ours.
Gentlemen, let's get back to you, Eric.
Locking ours. Give me the call. Give me the call.
Well, quite. back in the locker room area, joined by Lex Luger, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair. I thought I had the components here for the team that was going to be representing World Championship Wrestling.
Ron rules down. Luger, where's Sting? You got Double A, you got the Nature Boy, we got the package. Where's Sting? We got a fight going on Sunday. Where is your partner?
Before you go jumping down my throat, Nature Boy, I've been there in war games with you guys. I've been a horseman. I've been in on the strategy sessions. I know what the importance of this match is. I have the same at stake that you guys have at stake. Sting's here. Steiner said he saw him in the back. I don't know where he is right now. It's unusual because I always tell Sting what to do.
Do me a favor, will you? Tell your story walking. Where's Sting, brother? Hogan, Outsiders, next Sunday night, the show is out. It's live. And the by God Horseman and Luger and the Hulk Sting show up. What about that? We're ready, brother.
He's in the back. Hey, wait a minute, Mongo. Chris Benoit.
Gene, can you smell it, Gene? The ship ain't even sailed in 6 days and the rat's already jumping off the ship. I told you guys not to count on these guys. Stay in the Horseman. We'll see what happens.
All right, you've got to settle down. What's your thoughts on all of this, Chris
Benoit?
This
is what the thought of filling her shoes has done. What's going to happen in the cage, Lex?
He's just not here for an interview. The Stinger is in the building. And, Gene, if there's one guy, and you guys know we can count on for war games, we can count on the fight for World Championship Wrestling, it's the Stinger. He's always been there. He'll be there in 6 days. You can count on it.
Let me tell you my mindset, okay? Forget about the fact he's not here for the interview. I've called ahead to Winston-Salem to get myself a hospital room because I figure I just might need it. I expect to get hurt at war games. So does he, and so should you. And so should Sting, because you see, when you walk in war games on the cage, you got to put all that on the line if you expect to get all that. Hogan, you took a baseball bat to me, but I was in the right up in your face the very next week. So apparently I got more guts than you got talent. You tried to put my eyes out with paint. You should have used battery acid. That's what I would have done. You lit this fire. Now it's going to burn you all to the ground.
I'm certain the Horseman would be more than happy to jump into this place without Sting. Gentlemen, I thank you. Next Sunday night, WCW meeting the NWO double cage and, of course, double ring.
I want to say something.
I'm not here to step on anybody's toes. I think the world's in shock. The world's outraged. But there's nobody hotter than the Horseman. You see, this thing all began about 10 years ago with Flair, Anderson, Ole Anderson, and Tully Blanchard. And we paved the way, and we showed you how, Hogan. And it just occurred to me, as that gravel was flinging out back, what you want to be when you grow up. You want to be a horseman, but you just don't know how. So you're going to surround yourself with every cutthroat and every thug you can find. And now you even took Stinger away from WCW, the thing I thought would never happen. Flair even said the one constant in this life, whether you believe in Sting or not, but the one thing you can count on is Stinger. Well, we can count on this, Stinger. You crawl in as the fourth man like we know you're going to at war games. We're going to take your head off. My word to God on that one.
I want to say one thing before we turn it over here. I may have made mistakes. WCW may have made mistakes. And maybe we didn't count on Ric Flair.
Are you going to let me talk? Huh? You going to let me talk?
You can do whatever you want to do at this point.
What do you got the horseman locked up back there for? We need to be out here. Hogan, you, Hall, Nash, NWO, / Sting, it makes no difference. We're going to war games. You know what war games is? That's 8 guys in a cage, 8 guys ready to bleed, sweat, and pay the price. At Sunday night, Hogan, Hollywood, Hulk Hogan, you'll have a chance to walk that long.
As I said, maybe it was
you
a mistake.
Hogan, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, you will not leave town alive.
The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant WM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment. Sports entertainment. Sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Jerry Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can't have you.
Stop now. Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He
said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything, but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Wax.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You
yes, Wax.
That was all right. So disrespectful.
All right.
Nah, Steve, I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Yes, Tina.
You start to get next to me.
Honey, that was my plan from the very beginning.
Darling.
Uh-huh.
I never thought this could be.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. Your lips set my soul on fire. You fulfill my one desire. Oh, darling.
Yes, yes.
I think it's going to work out fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and assorted lowlifes, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment, from the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the blue collar scholar, the impact player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I'm joined by...
Foot in your ass deep and mountain high, it's the Mega Powers.
What's up, handsome? How's it been?
Things have been pretty good. How's everything with you?
You know me, doing the thing, hanging and banging. Everything else is good? Good in the hood?
Back in the high life again.
I love Steve Winwood. I'm going to open up the next show with Steve Winwood, I think.
Yeah, Higher Love and...
That was the comeback shit. You got to get, his traffic stuff and Spencer Davis group. You got to get deep into Steve Winwood to appreciate him, dude. That's what you got to do.
The man had one of the greatest voices of all time.
Dude was singing it and playing the keyboard for a major band at like 16 years old, man.
Wasn't he drumming too, or am I thinking about Phil Collins?
I think Phil Collins was the drummer. I know Steve Winwood plays guitar, bass, and the keyboards. You know what I'm saying? But if you guys...
He's like the Deion Sanders of soft rock.
Must be the money.
Valerie, that's another great song.
Valerie, like you mentioned, Back in the High Life. I mean,
what was that one song he had for the Nuns on a Run movie?
Ooh, that was the name of the movie, Nuns on a Run?
Yeah. I forgot the name of the song. Roll With It. That's
Roll With It, baby. Yeah. No, Matt, not Power Station.
We're not talking about
Robert Palmer and half of Duran Duran, isn't it?
Anyway, yeah. Happy birthday to Ike Turner, who would have been 82 today.
Happy birthday, Ike, yeah, from beyond the grave.
From beyond the grave. What's up, everybody, in the chat room? Matt's in there.
Wait a second. You know, speaking of people getting punched in the face, I remember there was an episode of Miami Vice where they had Power Station, but they didn't have Robert Palmer, you know, with them. This is when they had, like, the other singer. And it's like, you know, Crockett and Tubbs in this, like, shitty-ass CD bar where supposedly Power Station is playing. And one of the guys from Duran Duran says, like, oh, we have a new singer. You won't be able to tell the difference. And you can immediately tell the difference.
Yeah, Robert Palmer had a distinctive voice. He died really young, dude. He was like 50 when he passed away.
Yeah, what was it, like cancer or heart attack?
Yeah, he had a heart attack, but that guy had a, you know, he had a great voice, Robert Palmer. And we're getting off topic, but who gives a shit? It's our show.
But let me cut to the chase. There was like a big like bar fight.
Right.
And this one chick gets punched in the face, and it was really funny.
Again, happy birthday, Ike Turner. Robert Palmer did a cover of Mercy Me with a medley of I Want You by the great Marvin Gaye. I have it on my iPod. It's a Phil Rea iPod staple.
Exclusive.
No, it's not exclusive. It came – I remember the cassette single came in a – it was blue. The cassette itself was blue. Really cool. But anyway, I'm a big 80s guy. You're a big 80s guy, too. You like a lot of 80s man. Music. That's why we kick ass.
A lot of people call me the American Psycho because I love that shit so good.
Don't just stare at it. Eat it. Oh, I got to get that clip. That was a great fucking clip from that movie. You'd be proud of me, Dave.
Forever to see that movie, but we're getting way off track.
You'd be proud of me, brother, because today I called into your buddy Dan's show, the Get in the Ring show.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they asked me to call in last night. I was like, all right. Like 9 o'clock in the morning I had to call in. That's pushing it for me because I sleep until 9 on my day off. Yeah, but nonetheless, I called.
Like, getting up early,
dude,
asking you to talk about wrestling at that time of the day.
Yeah, you know what? I do him a bone. He's a good dude. He promotes us all the time, and we promote him. And they're college guys. They're trying to get their stuff together. So I talked an entire hour of wrestling, and I didn't swear. Did not say one curse word. You would have been proud of me.
I was proud because he had me on the show a few weeks ago, and I had to do the same thing. I had to, like, not curse.
Right.
And he had nerve to double book another guest.
Yeah, well,
I had to not curse with more people.
Well, speaking of double booking and not coming on the show – I replaced Rob Feinstein, apparently, because Rob Feinstein was supposed to come on the show, and I guess had another engagement of some sort.
Oh, with a young boy?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the interview was nice. I mean, I was half asleep, and then I got into it, and then he actually entertained me. You know, I was hoping he didn't, like, cover Raw like you did, because I didn't watch all of Raw. I don't watch all of Raw. You know how it goes. It takes me 3 days to watch Raw.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was cool, and shout out to them. They do a show every Thursday, I believe, at, like, 10 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they're asking about what happened on Saturday night, so hold on a second. I got actually fucking... So Saturday night, I am... cleaning the man cave, folding laundry, wifey's asleep. I put on a wrestling call-in show. We're not taking calls right now, guys, so you know, you want to call back maybe after the break. So Matt Squad is trying to call in. Matt, I'm not taking calls right now.
Matt is actually trying to call in?
Yeah, he's trying to call in. But
the guy doesn't like call in since the dawn of time, and now he wants to call in?
I don't know. He just tried to call in, so I'm apologizing.
While you're about to get into the retarded speech?
Yeah, Matt, he's trying to call again. Dude, I'm not taking calls right now, so please wait till after the break, possibly.
Yeah,
all right.
Before we beat you with a shoe and a limousine.
Right. So anyway, let me do a do not disturb thing up there anyway. All right, so, okay. Anyway, I'm in the call-in show. I'm listening to it, and they say, you know, call in. You know, like, like Will's asking me for like into 2 hours. Like, Phil, please, and you're in the chat room. Call in, blah blah blah. I was like, I didn't want to call in. I was going through some stuff. I was playing my dice game, folding laundry.
You were mid-fold on that laundry.
Mid-fold on my delicates. Yeah, you know how we roll up in here.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like get my shit together, And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I call in and, you know, the big John Cena debate comes on. So, of course.
The big John Cena debate?
Yeah, these guys, I mean, they if you listen to their show, they cover a lot of topics. And Will likes to do, like, the hot button thing and ask questions about how do you feel about this thing or that thing. And he gets, you know, and it's like a 90s call-in chat line. And 17 people are in and they, you know, and they chat it up. So, you know, I mean, I'm into my whole spiel about John Cena, and Lee calls in, our buddy Lee, and me and Lee are going back and forth, pretty much taking over the show for a minute, and I mentioned, hey, you know, I said, Cena, and I went on this whole tirade about Cena. I was like, Cena is good for the company, he sells merch, he does this, he hangs out with the retarded kids, and, you know, so apparently I offended somebody.
Hangs out with the what?
The retarded kids, exactly. Now, it's, for me, I'm not going to apologize for what I said. Because I didn't mean it facetiously, you know. Of course, you could take it that way because of what, you know, how it was said. But that word has been used a lot, like for decades. Apparently, because you know everybody's PC now, nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to say the word. And I didn't mean it like that. I meant the you know, the kids that call, you know, the Make-A-Wish kids. Not all of them are retarded or mentally challenged. They are, you know, they're. They're injured, traumatic brain injuries, they're terminally ill. So it's not just the mentally challenged children, it's everybody. I just said that to get a rise and get a laugh out of everybody, just to keep the conversation going. I didn't mean to pick on mentally challenged people, all right? So I think his name was Emmett. So Emmett, this one's for you.
Hey, Rob.
What?
She's retarded.
She ain't retarded, she's shy, you know?
I'll tell you what to do. Take it to the zoo. I hear retards like the zoo.
Hey, this bum got to say that.
Yeah. See? Anyway.
Rocky.
Yeah. I mean, I pulled out a whole bunch of stuff. Ralphie May does something about retards. A bunch of comedians. So I pulled out a bunch of stuff. But again, I didn't mean to be facetious. So.
And hey, you know, they have the retarded strength, so they can fight back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean,
like what, like the strength of 10 gorillas or something? So
I don't know. I just, you know, listen, I haven't got any negative feedback in 2 years. I was bound to get it, you know?
Oh, welcome to the club. Now you know what it's like to be me.
Now I know what it's like to be you. Yes, exactly. So anyway, it is what it is, and I'm not apologizing, so fuck that. That's first of all. And second of all, you don't know me personally, you know, I put myself out there for a second while I was on the thread. I'm like, you know, and he's like, he's posting stuff on the Rampage, and he was like, oh, you know, you guys condone this and da 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 da. And you know, Double A is like, no, we don't condone it. You know, it's, so, you know, I said, it's not nobody's fault. It's my fault. I said it, you know, I'm responsible for it, you know? And that's just pretty much how it's going to go, you know? And we'll move on. That's all. People were asking about it, and that was it. So now I talked about it, and now we'll move on.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into some news.
Well, get on the short bus and move along.
Get on a short bus and move along. Thank you, Mega Powers.
I'm just quoting my man, Black Hammer, Tony C, in the chat room right now.
Yeah, Black Hammer, the president of the Ike World Order, the IWO.
I like Ike.
I like Ike. I was talking about that 2 weeks ago, the New York Post, Tina beats Ike to death. Oh, I'm sorry, Ike beats Tina to death. That was when he passed away.
But she's still alive, isn't she?
She's still alive, but Ike beats Tina to death. Get it? He died before her. And that was the front page of the New York Post.
Oh, my God.
And my wife and I still talk about that, you know? It's pretty funny. But it's the New York Post, so everybody thinks it's a rag paper, but, you know.
Yeah, because they have, like, it's all yellow journalism, as far as I'm concerned.
They do have a top-notch sports page, but that's another top podcast. Now,
yeah.
All right, do you want to get into our hopefully future endeavor before you get into the news that you started a revolution on Facebook today?
Yeah.
You want to get into that before we get into our news? You want
yeah,
to news
we'll get
first?
Into that.
All right, so.
Well, I was bored at work. which, you know, starts off many of great things.
Yeah, obviously. Of course. That's how we get some of our material, you and I.
Yeah. Me just being bored at work, scrolling through Facebook and other God knows where else.
Right.
But I noticed, you know, Jersey All-Pro is making their big return to Rahway Rec Center.
18 minutes from my house.
And 10 minutes away from my house.
Bonus.
And it's by one of my favorite places on the planet, Denny's.
Denny's.
So wait a minute.
Rewind. There's a Denny's there? You didn't tell me?
Well, it's not like you left early that one night, so you didn't get to go to Denny's with everybody.
Oh, everybody went to Denny's afterwards? Yeah, no, yeah. I had to drive to the shore afterwards. That's why. But no, yeah. Dude, we definitely – if we – all right. Carry on.
I was at that Denny's last night, and I had a great time.
Oh, all right. So carry on.
So this is more or less me just trying to go to Denny's more often. But I noticed Jersey All-Pro put out a post on their new Facebook page saying that they're scouting out hot new talent to be on their commentating team because they got nobody, and the show is next Saturday. So it's like, okay, let me throw our hat in the ring, literally and figuratively. So I sent Mr. Fat Frank a message saying, hey, Buster, you got some two prime picks, some prime beef right here who are ready to take over the commentating team at your next event. And I put that in a much more nicer manner, along with a link, to the Shining Wizards Network, page with all our episodes saying, hey, check it out and, give us a listen, contact me this way. Let's see where it goes. And our only other competition was some other bozo that I know that goes to these shows and has his own podcast who will rename nameless for the time being.
Well, is his podcast any good?
I listened to a few episodes. Pretty good. Okay. Not as good as ours, but
okay.
It's good.
Okay. I don't want to shit on anybody. I just, no. Okay.
I'm not going to shit on him. Okay. Not like figuratively or literally.
Right.
But he's an okay guy, but he's not as great as we are.
Okay, that's fair.
So I had to rally the troops on Facebook and say, hey, you want to hear us do commentating, for Jersey All-Pro, then let these guys know it. Make your demands known. Yeah. So I started the revolution
while
I was at work, bored.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Jersey All-Pro, and I've been to one or two of their shows, they were the premier Fed in New Jersey before PWS.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And they also have TV, if I'm not mistaken, too. They do like they have.
I don't recall, but I remember, Jersey All Pro is one of those groups that's just been around forever in New Jersey. Like one of the first champions that they had was Jerry Lawler, believe it or not.
Right. That I know.
And Al Snow was one of their champions, and they've always just been one of these groups that's consistent. Like they have their own talent, their own homebrew going on, but they would also bring in some of the bigger names. And I remember one of the shows I went to there was, seeing Homicide defeat Jushin Thunder Liger when Liger was not really letting anybody go over on him, especially like on these kind of shows. So that was like a huge deal to see something like that happen. Jersey All-Pro was hugely instrumental in bringing New Japan for their very first U.S. tour, which was in Jersey, New York, and Philadelphia. So they played a big part in that. Also, I remember being there for a show where they were filming part of the wrestler there. So Mickey Rourke was there. They were filming him there. So Jersey All-Pro has always been on the hot button of indie professional wrestling on the East Coast. Even the Jersey All-Pro women's title was defended on TNA on Impact.
Gotcha.
So they've had their fingers in a lot of cookie jars over the years.
Okay.
So, and the thing that blew me away, the man who's ever an opportunist, Mr. Joel Gertner,
threw
his
hat
out there saying, hey, if you guys get the gig, I want in.
Yeah. How awesome is that? Not only are our – I'm sorry, I can't even talk tonight. How awesome is it that our awesome fans – endorse us like that. And even Otto took to Twitter, which was great. Now I went on Twitter too, and I tweeted these guys, and all guys were on their Facebook page, and started a huge big thread. But then Joel Gertner endorses us.
Yeah,
Joel
has been starting to get active on the Facebook group, which I noticed.
Yeah, and he's a cool dude, and apparently we have a lot in common. And we talk once in a while. We spoke, in messaging during the 9/11 season. you know, we talk, and, you know, he, again, once in a while chimes in, and it's really, really cool. And I, again, he's one of our peers now, one of our, he's one of my heroes, but to be honest. Joel kept ECW going for when it was on its way out. He was comical, and he was great behind the stick, and he was awesome with the Dudleys, and he was awesome with Joey Styles, and he's just a good dude.
Yeah, he, you know, from my limited interaction with him in the past, guy's been super nice. And, you know, him professionally, the guy can do a 10-minute introduction and have the audience, like, in the palm of his hand. So, you know, if he wants to, you know, say we do get picked to do this, you know, it, first of all, it'd be an honor for him to work with us, but to be under his learning tree for all that he's done over the years would only make that a really stronger cohesive unit. So hell yeah.
So Joel, if you're listening now or you're listening on the download, Dave and I just want to thank you very much for your endorsement. We'd love to get you on the show soon. You're not too far away from my home. I'd love to have you at my home in the studio with us, or just call in, whatever you want to do. We'll make that happen. So thank you very much.
Yeah, so big thanks to Joel Gertner, but equally as big thanks to all the fans and the listeners that made it a point to hit up Jersey All Pro and make a comment, make a like, whatever they did.
Yeah.
You know, that means a lot to us that you guys give a shit. So.
Yeah, even your boy, Chris, I stood up the throwbacks, Dickinson, chimed in with a nice little funny pun. In that thread.
Don West and
Mike yeah, Tenor. B. Dylan Dickinson, B. Dylan. I got your fucking
Jim Minton,
Kenny McGuire rookie card. Yeah, Sosa, and I'm throwing a Britney Spears virginity.
Yo, if they want Don West to show up there, have Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. show up.
Ken Griffey rookie fucking card, B. Dylan people, B. Dylan.
I have I never made you copies because I didn't know you at the time, but I used to make these mixtapes called Don West and then, like, whatever the style of music was.
That's
like,
awesome.
There's a Don West punk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And hook there's a up. Don West, you know, metal, cock rock album.
Cock rock.
It's just, like, whatever punk or cock rock songs and then just him going berserk.
Right, right.
And there's, like, one where he's, like, almost crying because, you know, when Tiger Woods, you know, got into golf. Like, all of a sudden, like, golf cards were actually worth something.
Okay.
And he was, like, recalling, like, this time where, you know, he had this big offer to take all these golf cards. And he's like, no, these are worthless. And then then golf, like, blew up because of Tiger Woods. And he was regretting that moment.
Well, I got to tell you, this has been a banner day for the throwbacks. And I'm happy that our fans stepped in and they came correct. I'm happy that Joel endorsed us. So, Fat Frank, yeah. If you're listening, come on, baby. You know the deal. Ain't nobody
give us a call. Yeah, hit the hotline.
That's right. You know that you got the info now. Dave hooked you up. We ain't too far to find. You know what I'm saying?
Holla back.
All right. Holla back. Playa, playa. All right. So, we get that out of the way. I got some news.
There's a lot of news.
A lot of news. This is episode 93, by the way. We're 7 episodes away from the big triple-digit episode. Christmas.
93 years in the making.
Christmas Spooktacular. Episode
the
number...
Christmas Spooktacular. I'm still spooked from the Spooktacular. Now we're going to have a Christmas Spooktacular.
Yeah. December the 20th will be the night. It'll be a Saturday evening. I guess the venue is unpicked yet. Dave and I are working on that. We're waiting on some of our brothers to get back to us. Unfortunately, the neckbreaker guys cannot make it from Boston, but they're going to call in, they said.
Which very good.
Is very good to them. So shout out to Brian and John and all those cats. And we're still waiting on everybody else to see what's going on with that. So hopefully, and of course, we'll open up the phone lines to all you guys that night. It'll be like a, you know, a big old chat party.
Party line.
Already got the okay from the network to do a 3-hour gig if needed. Just have to break out at 11 o'clock for Mr. Will I Am Morgan and the Wrestling Colon Show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it with that. So, again, yeah, dial 1-900-909-9900.
This phone number is no longer available.
All right, Dave, let's get into some news. Global Force Wrestling is proud to announce the first ever under its banner will be in conjunction with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and its January 4th show from the Tokyo Dome. Global Force Presents New Japan Pro Wrestling's Kingdom 9 will air live in North America at 2 a.m. on January 4th, which is 4 p.m. in Tokyo. The four-hour telecast will air in prime time in North America at 7 p.m. on your pay-per-view provider. Nice. I know where you'll be that night.
Yeah.
Including DirecTV, Dish, AT&T, UVerse, Comcast, and our favorite, Verizon Fios, and all the cable systems in the United States, and in Canada on Bell Express, Voo, and TV, Rogers, Shaw, Saskatel, and Telus. Check your local...
January 3rd is my birthday.
That is your birthday.
And January 4th is Mel Gibson's birthday.
So it's going to be a Mega Powers Lethal Weapon New Japan Turnbuckle Throwback Spooktacular birthday party.
Hell yeah.
Right. We'll get you some gluten-free cake and some malt liquor, and we'll be okay.
Some Thunderbird.
Oh, okay. Thunderbird it is. I can get that in Port Richmond. It's not a problem.
No more Four Loko.
No more? Okay.
Listen. I had like 2.5 Four Lokos one time. Worst decision of my life.
Yeah, no alcohol beverages unless you're going.
It was just some like fruity shit that was coming out of me. It was horrible.
If you are a iTunes or Android player on your smartphone or tablet, the Flips app also will air the pay-per-view as well. Okay. Wrestle Kingdom 9 is the 24th consecutive January 4th Dome show, which kicks off their year and annually is the largest show in the world outside the U.S., drawing in excess of over 40,000 fans. Let's see. Slapnuts Jeff Jarrett, and I quote, "This is one of the greatest events on the wrestling calendar every year, and for Global Force to have an opportunity to bring it to American audience is an honor and a privilege. This event has history that involves not only the greatest names in Japanese wrestling, but some of the greatest names in U.S. wrestling."
Wait, this sounds like something that Tony Schiavone said, and then they just inserted some like New Japan, Japanese, and all that in there.
Well, this is a press conference that happened on Monday. New Japan,
Tony Schiavone was not there.
No, Tony Schiavone was not there. He calls minor league Brave games in Atlanta, Georgia. New Japan Pro Wrestling founder and wrestling icon Antonio Inoki has appeared on the January 4th Dome Show 5 times. Other legends who appear were Hulk Hogan, Dusty Rhodes. Who else? Let me see here. I have to fix my paper here. Dusty Rhodes. And, of course,
Sting.
And the Steiner Brothers, Big Van Vader, Randy Savage, Brock Lesnar, the Great Muta, the Great Kabuki.
And they will all not be there that night.
No, Chono and Ricky Choshu. This year's card's headlined by IWGP Heavyweight Championship match between Tanahashi and Okada. The Bullet Club, which Jarrett is a member of, along with AJ Styles, and the IWGP Tag Team Champions, Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, are also expected to appear on the show as well. The show will be available in English and in Japanese via second audio program, your SAT button on your TV. Global Force will reveal the North American announcers for the event in the near future. Should be you and I, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Ken Shamrock, check this out. I read this is interesting. Ken Shamrock, former IC champ, believes that he deserves a spot in the WWE Hall of Fame.
He certainly does.
In a recent interview, he said that he isn't sure if he'll ever see that happen, but he feels WWF doesn't think he played an important part or role in building up to the company. He said, and I quote, "I don't know if I can really speak to that. I do feel I definitely deserve to be in their Hall of Fame based on the things I did while I was there. Being able to change the sport along with other people, I feel I earned that right based on what I was able to do in a small amount of time.
If it wasn't for him, there wouldn't be any tap outs in professional wrestling."
I totally agree.
He was the first guy to have people tapping out.
"I'm not sure that I could stand there and boast about that. There are fans that really tell a tale and think they speak very loudly about where I stand in pro wrestling. I don't think there are too many people who would tell you I don't deserve to be there. Obviously, a lot of times the fans aren't listened to or their opinions are overlooked. Today's performers just push them aside and don't listen to what they want and what they want their fans just to shut up, sit down, and enjoy the show. Because we're going to do whatever we want to do, like it or not, because you're not going to come to the show. I hear this all the time in WWE. I hear about the fans." All right, I'm not going to read all this shit. It doesn't matter. I mean, bottom
line.
Fans
can stick it.
yeah, he's, you know, I don't know. It's a big debate. It's already a big debate in the chat room. I know the Wizards actually talked about it last night with Gulak and Dave Destruction. Great show, by the way. I'm not done with it, but it was a good show. And obviously Tony got his shirt finally from Gulak. Good for him. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he belongs because of the hybrid, like you said. Also, he paved the way for MMA guys to do all this. Like guys like Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley and all these other guys that, you know.
Bobby Lashley.
I'm just saying, these guys are the mixed martial artists, you know.
Dave Bautista.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Big Dave, but all right.
There's actually news. There's actually Bautista news.
I don't have Bautista news. You have Bautista news?
I have Bautista news.
Then give me Bautista news, sir.
Well, if you knew me pretty well, you would know I'm a big James Bond fan.
That's right. I do know this. I should have wrote this down. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And you know, they are fine. I guess they're finalizing you know, the Bond 24 script. There's no name for the film just yet, but Bautista is slated to be one of the Bond villains.
Well, did you know 52 years ago today the first James Bond film was released?
I know now.
Okay. Did you, well,
I think I knew a few years ago whenever, what was it? When Skyfall was coming out, which I believe was in like sometime in November, MoMA, Museum of Modern Art, had a full Bond retrospective where they were playing every single Bond movie. And on the night that, the very first night of the Bond retrospective, was actually the first night that Dr. No appeared in theaters, and guess what they were playing? Dr. No. And guess who was there? I was there.
That's the first one. Came out in, I believe, 60, well, if it's 56 years, 62.
Yep.
So, great movie. They're all great movies. If you read, the books are amazing, though. I read some of the books in, like, junior high school. They're fucking
Only read one, and the one that I read was Casino Royale.
Oh, no, dude, you gotta read, Goldfinger with the Pussy Galore, dude. And Odd Job. Odd Job was like the Mr. Saito looking dude with the hat.
Odd Job.
Odd Job, yeah. He looks like Mr. Saito. He had that top hat that
was he
like,
in the book?
Yeah, he was in the book. Absolutely was in the book.
I've seen all the movies, but I've only read one of the books.
Yeah, you gotta read the books, dude. You gotta read the books. Ian Fleming, I think, was the book guy.
Yeah, Ian Fleming.
Okay. So you gotta read the books. And today is also Ike Turner's birthday. Yes, we spoke about that. But no, seriously, Skyfall was good. The best thing about Skyfall was Adele, baby. I love Adele. That's like my new, well, not my new, but for about a year and a half now, I've had a love Jones for Adele. And,
oh, God.
Dude, I love everything about her. Her voice.
I love the voice, but that's about it.
Dude, I'm sorry. I just there's something sexy about her, and I get shit for it all the time, but I really don't care.
Why is Matt asking if I know who Odd Job is when I told you who Odd Job is?
Go back to the suite. You sit there. You wait for me, you whore. That's right, Pussy Galore. Moneypenny. Come here, Moneypenny. Toss my salad, whore. Anyway, see, I could do a good Sean Connery.
Yeah, none of those lines were in the movie.
No, of course not. Those are my lines, bastard. Anyway, there's a website out there, Dave, called TeamDavyBoy.com. Stop laughing.
What is it, just two members?
No, this is
Harry
getting...
Harry and Bozzi?
No, dude, this is getting a lot of steam. They're pushing for Davey Boy Smith to get into the Hall of Fame. So what they're doing is... They're not playing around, and they have a Facebook page and a whole nine yards. Mick Foley's the latest star to endorse the late British Bulldog for the Hall of Fame, and he put a video up. So, I thought that was interesting to talk about. You know that, you know.
I don't know, man. These British wrestlers. Well, we actually have listener Harry has his young son listening to the show tonight.
Does he?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, this is a perfect way to acclimate him to the American way of doing things, which is the best way of doing things, in my opinion. And this is a great way for him to lose his accent, even though the kid probably doesn't have an accent yet. But, you know, when you listen to a show like the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, you learn how to speak properly. You learn new vocabulary. You learn new ways of living through professional wrestling.
Tony C said Ike Turner was Agent 00 Kilo.
You're damn right he was.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Finish your...
He has his young son listening to the show.
Shout out to Harry, by the way.
And, you know, I'm glad that he's converting over to American way of doing things. Red, white, and blue all the way. Stars and stripes forever.
All right. You done?
I'm done.
All right. Our buddy Jamie, a.k.a. Axel Foley, I think he's in the room tonight. Shout out to Jamie. Was at Raw this past Monday in Buffalo.
Decent seats, too.
Yeah. Hey, no sign. Thanks, Jamie. We'd like to see a throwback sign
the
up there.
Bum.
Yeah, really. You guys got to come correct, man. I want to see some Turnbuckle Throwbacks on TV.
Yeah.
Dude's got to, you know, got to get my head swelled up a little bit there. No.
Yeah, man. Or for me, 30 days later on the network.
Yeah, so shout out to Jamie, by the way, even though he didn't make a sign for us. We love him anyway.
Even though he was acting retarded that day.
Leave him alone.
What?
Nothing. Nothing. Raw was okay. We finally got to see the face turn of Randy Orton, but Rusev defeats Sheamus for the U.S. title, which you know, gave me a question to ask you and our constituents in the room. Do you think Rusev is the next Umaga? What I mean is like, do you think he's the guy that, you know, gets this monster push and then they bury him? I mean, even though he abruptly passed away at a young age, Umaga,
yeah,
but he was like a main eventer, and all of a sudden, like the next 2 months, he was like,
yeah, he was going against Cena. He was making the rounds, but
yeah, they're pushing him to be this monster heel. And, you know, do they, I mean, is he going to be like the next Umaga, or is Rusev the real deal?
Oh, man, you know, this is a tough call. Like, you know, for me, like, I'm still not completely sold on him. All the guys that he's chewing up and spitting out, like, they're guys that, like, best way I can put it is the hardcore fans, you know, they're not buying these guys anymore. You know, nobody's buying Sheamus, nobody's buying Big Show, Mark Henry, who else? Like, all these guys that he's been beating,
right?
They're already kind of, you know, on their way out anyway. Well, maybe not Sheamus. Sheamus is still good to go, but for the most part, a lot of people are not into these guys as wrestlers. They're not really buying them. Say, Rusev, you know, defeated Cesaro, or if he defeated Dolph Ziggler. Well, I don't know. It's not too far-fetched for him to beat anybody because everybody's beating everybody. And then they're beating those guys that beat them, you know, back the following week. So, again, you know, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse, or beating a dead Tina Turner or an Ike Turner or whoever's dead now. But it's still 50-50 booking, you know, that's still hurting these guys. Like, I tuned in last night. I'll say this. I was into the match.
The match was good.
Yeah, the match was good. I'm sure if I got caught up in it, other people got caught up in it. Ending wasn't all that great because, I don't know, it's a camel clutch. Who really passes out to a camel clutch? Except for Bret Hart.
Right.
And his family has to throw in the towel for him or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
But still, like, it wasn't totally buyable, but it was an exciting moment because, you know, even for guys like us who can see the title change is coming a mile away, especially with this match being, you know, after Raw on the network only, you could totally tell that the title's going to change. But still, it did create that special moment. It was a fine match. I don't know if it's really going to do him any, you know, better down the road, but at the very least, at least it was a meaningful title change.
Okay. Well, that was my next question. you know how I feel about the belts being just trophies at this point. And they, you know, these
not belts, even trophies. They're just just an accessory.
They're, accessory, like a you know, like a figurehead trophy. You know,
yeah. Because if you have a trophy, at least you have something.
Right?
To show
yeah, like
off
like
with,
like a figurehead trophy. My thing is now: is there going to be some credibility with this belt, or just?
I'm still going to say no because, you know, no matter how many times they say, oh, Harley Race was the first United States champion. First of all, it's not their United States championship that he was the champion of. And second of all, you know, it's already been devalued, you know, so many times. Like, literally, for them to really have this title to mean something, they would just have to change the whole entire structure of how the show's going. And we've talked about this a million times.
Yeah.
Oh, what is this, a link to
yeah, don't click it. Sign? Don't click it. It's Tank being silly. First of all, Tank, I wouldn't own an LG TV, first of all, but it was cute. He put our a logo on a TV screen.
Okay.
That's nice. Right. Yes, Tank, you are an asshole. All right. So, Kevin Steen's been filming some vignettes at the Performance Center in Orlando to his build up his big debut on NXT in December as Kevin Owens. Taking the name Owens for his son and the late great Owen Hart. Steen is
sounds like a name of an actor
on Dawson's
on
Creek.
An 80s television show like Family Ties or something.
Right. Steen is currently scheduled to make his NXT debut, like I mentioned, December 11th for the NXT Takeover special, and then the tapings that following night. You know, I'm a big Steen guy, so I'm excited for this.
Yeah, we should have Fergal Devitt or whatever his name is now.
Yeah.
Finn Bass or Finn Balor or whatever's going on.
Finn Balor, yeah. Maybe I'll be at work, so hopefully you'll be threading that night for us and doing some NXT stuff, hopefully, if you're
I'll
around.
I'll do my best.
Awesome. All right. Did you see Lucha Underground yet?
No, I haven't been able to watch it yet.
Oh, dude, I'll send you the link. I want to thank our buddy Felonious Punk from... Sleeve Notes, Geeks in the Industry. Punk was the first one to post it to me, and then a bunch of guys sent it to me because Joel Gertner was in this thread also. I don't have the actual show on my network on my cable network in English, so dude, I loved it. I was talking about it with Mike Norenganger from the Midnight Jury yesterday, and him and I agree it was a great show, dude. Honestly,
really,
dude, I'm telling you. Well produced, like I told you, it was going to be well produced. Very simplistic. The backstage stuff was great. The characters are awesome. I love the heel guy, Dalo Cueto. He's like the Ted DiBiase. He owns the company. You know, they got a cute little mamacita doing the ring announcing.
Oh boy,
Chavo's there. He fought Blue Demon. He tapped out the Blue Demon, but it was a stretch just for storyline purposes to move along. I'm sure Blue Demon got through. He looked terrible. Blue Demon's also like 50 years old too. This is like
the guy's been around forever. So
this is the Blue Demon Jr.
Blue Demon Jr.
He's been around forever. Yeah. The only thing I had a problem with, their female wrestler, Sexy Star. She's been around. She does Lucha. She does Japan. She's been around. She's phenomenal.
She looks like the Blue Demon Jr.
No, she's she's really good though. She's very exceptional in the ring. I've seen her wrestle. I just looked up some of her stuff yesterday and today. But she fought Matt Cross. He's calling himself Son of Havoc there with a mask. I'm not a big fan of the intergender matches.
That was a big thing with Chikara and with PWG, Beyond Wrestling.
Yeah, PWG does it too, though. They do it with Joey Ryan and Candice. It's like I like them both. I like Candice. I love Joey Ryan, but I don't like that intergender shit. You know, the tag team stuff is fine, but I don't like when the dudes fight the chicks. For me, there's no validity to it. Even though Sexy Star can fight and Candice can fight, I'm not feeling it, dude. I'm not. And the main event was fantastic.
Hey, man, you don't need to feel it because Joey Ryan or Matt Cross is feeling it.
Apparently. Johnny Morrison's there. He's calling himself Johnny Mundo. He fought Ricochet, a.k.a. Prince Puma. I thought the match was great. Like I mentioned, I love the backstage. It's done in a warehouse. Conan plays the trainer of Prince Puma.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, he has a hidden agenda. It's Conan.
K-Dog.
Yeah, K-Dog has a hidden, you know. There's a rumor that they're bringing Alberto Del Rio in at the new year, and he's going by the name of El Patron,
Del Rio, which is
yeah, but I thought he was doing that with Triple X.
Well, yeah, well, they have a working agreement, but I think ADR has a 90-day no work clause, so he's waiting for that all to get done so he could do Triple A. You could do both because they're filming in Los Angeles and they're not doing as many shows as you know as Triple A. He could do both. It's not a, they have a working agreement, so. Do you have any more news? I don't have any more news.
I'm all newsed out.
All right,
we got Facebook questions.
We do have Facebook questions. There was a couple added today. I'm just trying to pull up the Foch Brut over there.
Hold on. I have it up.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll read the questions that I put on my notes, and you can give me the rest of them that I missed. All right.
Okay.
Buddy Choppy wants to know, what was your favorite NWO moment? What was your favorite?
Well, mine was Bash at the Beach 96, because when it went down, you could not have, you know, predicted that. Even when I was watching it and Hogan was coming down the aisle, I was convinced that he was there to help out, you know, Luger, Savage, and Sting. And when he dropped the leg, I was blown away. Even with Bobby the Brain Heenan kind of giving it away.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even catch that. I was not even paying attention. I was just happy as shit that Hogan was coming down the aisle to stop the so-called the attack.
Right.
And, you know, that was a history-making moment, you know. The only other moment I could really put above that as far as the NWO goes is when Hogan spray-painted NWO on the championship after he beat the Giant, you know.
Yeah, man.
You know, who would have thought, like, that belt, granted, you know, it was mainly Flair holding that belt, but still, it carried enough history with it that when Hogan spray-painted NWO on it, like, it was a slap to the face to the tradition of WCW and NWA.
My favorite is a toss-up between Bash at the Beach 96 and the backstage incident where the Outsiders used...
Yes.
When they used Rey Mysterio as a lawn dart. That was my favorite one.
That was huge.
That was awesome. And then they did...
Like, at that point, like, I had a good feeling that, you know, wrestling was already, you know, fake. I was still fairly young. But it was moments like that where I just had no idea what the hell was going on.
Well, it was funny for me because, A, it was them beating up on Rey Mysterio, which I thought was pretty funny, even though I love Rey Mysterio to death. That was A. And B, the locals around Orlando Studios thought that it was legit, like there was really a fight going on.
Mm-hmm. And they called the cops.
I mean, there's a bunch of them. I mean, there was the Horseman parody. There was the...
There was when... another one of my favorites. It's not a big moment, but it just makes me laugh. Is when they gave the Nasty Boys NWO shirts, and the Nasty Boys thought that they were in the NWO, and then they got their ass
they got jacked
to them.
Yeah, that, and when they got the Giant, you know, which we'll talk about tonight. But I mean, actually, if you guys tuned in a couple minutes before, I actually played all the promos from Nitro episode 51 and 52, leading up to this pay per view. So you guys got a little bit of a treat beforehand. I just didn't have enough time to squeeze in 35 minutes of stuff, so I did it beforehand. So if you guys listened, if not, you get it on a download, no big deal. Matt wants to know, other than the original three, what was the number or addition of wrestlers to the NWO that made it get ridiculous? I guess after X-Pac, I guess.
It didn't get ridiculous until when they had Virgil,
yeah,
come in, like I wasn't bothered by that, and not because I am a Virgil fan. But you know, they needed like that, like, you know, crony who, like, you know, was not like on their level, but it was just there because somebody brought him in, which made sense. But then I think I'm trying to think. I think like when they were starting to do the Wolf Pack and Sting was in it, that's when things got
Jesus
for me.
They had the Wolf Pack, the Silver and Black, fucking. They had the Latino World Order. They had a bunch. I mean, it got really out of hand.
Because I know a lot of people like shit on Buff Bagwell for being in the NWO, but him and Scott Norton as a tag team.
Oh, Vicious and Delicious.
Yeah.
I love those guys, yeah.
Yeah, they were over.
Yeah, they were over.
Believe it or not, there was a point in time where Marcus Alexander Bagwell was over.
Yeah, no, he was a great talent, man. Buff was the stuff. Literally, he was the, no joke. I dug all of his stuff. I'm not even joking. I was a big Marcus Bagwell fan, even in Global when he was the handsome stranger. He's just a good worker. You know, he was a good worker. He was. The gimmick
that's
sucked.
That's just a gross gimmick.
It was a gross gimmick, but he was over and he was a good talent. I mean, you know, look. I mean, what was gross? Arachna Man was gross, but Brad Armstrong was awesome. You know, I mean, it's the same crap.
From Web City.
Yeah, from Web City. Funky Sam Medina from Pro Wrestling Nation. Shout out to Funky Sam. We're going to get him on the show soon. He's a big fan of the throwbacks. Sam wants to know who's going to be the one to defeat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and more importantly, who should be the one to beat Brock at WrestleMania?
Oh, man.
Well.
What if it were Dean Ambrose?
I think it's going to be Cena, sadly. Nobody wants to hear that. Who should be the one? It should be Roman Reigns. I mean, I know I said that he wasn't ready, but at this point, if you're not going to push Orton, you're not getting Daniel Bryan back, there's no one else besides Ambrose.
Yeah, because what was it? Daniel Bryan has more surgery.
Yeah, he may not be back until next year. He may not be back at all. He's that messed up. He has no feeling in that one arm. He's got like severe nerve damage. So, I mean, it goes back to that whole thing of them afraid to push the next guy, and now they're going to have to. They're going to have to step the game up, Dave.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
All their guys are dying.
Mr. X wants to know, what do you think of Don Morocco playing the Mr. X gimmick, attacking Gordon Soley and Piper, and then Piper coming to his aid on Superstation? I thought it was great. Have you seen that clip?
No, I haven't seen that.
I will send it to you. Or
yes,
Mr. X.
Do.
Mr. X will probably post it before I get to it, though. But it's great.
And yeah, please post it. I want to see that.
And
I've seen some of Piper's stuff
in Mid-Atlantic.
In NWA. I've seen the chain match. I've seen a bunch of him versus Flair.
Yeah.
But I don't recall him in Morocco feuding.
Yeah, his stuff with Gary Hart's guys is good too.
Yeah. I know some of his stuff in Portland, you know, facing Buddy Rose.
Yeah. Playboy Buddy Rose, yeah.
And also Chavo Guerrero in Los Angeles.
That's right, Chavo Senior, Chavo Classic.
Yeah.
He also wants to know, why is it that WWE Classics on Demand gave new monthly old cards and this network has zero stuff on a monthly basis? He said it's pretty sad the network replaced the Classic Network, which was, I love the Classic Network.
I liked it to an extent. Like, there was some stuff that was just really boring, but there was some stuff that was really good. Like, all the territory stuff was great because it was just stuff that you just don't see.
Right.
I don't know why that did not carry over into the network, but I think, you know, this is, February is going to be the first full year of the network. I'm pretty sure just in their minds, it's like, hey, let's get Nitro out. Let's get Saturday night's main event. All
right.
Let's get out, you know, the new stuff. Because, first of all, the current product is what they're pushing. They need to push it regardless. But, you know, at the same time, another big selling point was all the pay-per-views were on there.
That's why I got it. You know,
what can I tell you? There's so much stuff on there in the first place. Like, I'm going right now, besides doing stuff for the show, like when I get a chance, I try to watch like an episode of Nitro. Like, I'm up to the 25th episode.
Right.
And when I can, I try to watch whatever that correlating pay-per-view is, or the Clash of the Champions that they're promoting.
Sure.
Just so I could follow along, because like I watched all that stuff when it happened, but since that was the age of things constantly happening, like I don't remember most of that stuff because there was just too much going on.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, you know, back in the 80s or early 90s where like you waited for the weekend to come to see, you know, one episode of Superstars and one episode of Challenge. And if you were lucky enough to have cable, you got 2 hours of prime time and maybe All-Star Wrestling or All-American or whatever, right. You know?
No, you're right. I'm going to play devil's advocate because I totally agree with everything Mr. X was saying. Total. I mean, because, I mean, it's the truth. There's been no new programming in terms of old school stuff added. The digital streaming stuff is very, very – it's still a very new medium. I mean, I know Netflix has been around for a little while, But they just started streaming about a year or two ago, and people, like, almost, the DVDs are almost obsolete now. Part of the plant, right? So I think, you know, what they're doing is they're probably going into these libraries and they're probably editing a shit ton of stuff. So, I mean,
yeah, I could imagine, you know, they own so much in the first place.
They own everything except for, like, Memphis right now.
Yeah.
So, like, you know.
Well, there's a lot more than just Memphis that they don't own. But,
no, I'm talking about, like, I'm talking about in terms of main television, like.
Stuff that people are constantly talking about.
Of course. So, I mean, they just got Mid-South a year ago. The only thing my big issue is you've had AWA and you've had a world class for a hot minute. Why not put that stuff on the network? They stopped. They put a couple episodes up and then they stopped. They don't even have any AWA stuff up there. Put up the Super Clashes, man. They have a bunch of stuff.
I would love to see some of that classic episodes when Hogan was around, when Jesse the Body Ventura was there.
Yeah,
when Andre was there, when Mean Gene,
the Road Warriors, and Nick Bockwinkel and Heenan, and the Crusher and Ray Stevens. I mean, they had a bunch of guys.
First of all, AWA is where
everybody cut their teeth.
Most of his top talent.
Yeah, Sergeant Slaughter was there. The High Flyers. Scott Hall was there. Of course, the Hennings were there. Yeah, a bunch of guys.
Kurt Henning.
Yeah, Larry the Axe. Anyway, Tony C. wants to know, why did they have Lex crawling down the aisle during the War Games match yelling, "Stinger, stinger like a bitch"? Well, I can't. I don't have enough time on this episode to go.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that when we get to it.
I don't know if they own Portland, Mr. X. You know what? I don't know. Let's take Matt's call for a second. This dude's been calling. Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Hey, how you doing there, Phil?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I just missed your talk-up that you promised that you were going to give us. So, how you doing? I'm Midtown Matt. I'm out here in Waukesha and First, and it's Wrestling Wednesday. And over here with WRNT Radio. And just wanted to let you guys know we got Tatanka out here doing arts and crafts with some kids. We've got the Owen Hart zip line that the kids are loving. We have the Hardy Boys detox tent. And if you go over to the Dave Mega Powers booth, you can play Whack a Black and get your collectible plush Ole Anderson doll. So we just wanted to just give you guys a quick reminder over here at WRNT Radio. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
It's Wacky Wednesday out here.
Wacky Wednesday? What's your favorite station?
Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And remember, the phrase that pays, if you're not down with Turnbuckle Throwbacks, you need to get with the times.
Thank you, Matt.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye now. That's insane. That is insane. Jesus Christ. I got to connect with Dave again because... Oh, Jesus Christ. Dave, pick up the phone. Dave.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that, dude. I hit the wrong button. This kid, he called in like a radio station because they were doing something on the rant last night. You got to listen to last night's rant. First of all, I can't even explain it. Listen
Whack
to
the black.
Yeah. Listen to last night's rant. And I was supposed to do my radio spot, and I forgot because I got caught up in this IWO shit today.
Listen, I am not whacking any black people.
The Dave Powers, Mega Powers booth. That was classic.
And what's his Ole Anderson plush dolls?
This is why we had the best.
Who do you think I am?
We had the best fans on the planet, hands down. Oh my God, that was so awesome. Thank you, Matt, for calling in, man. I appreciate
black
that.
Black Hammer, can you believe this?
Come on, dude. That's
the
awesome.
Owen Hart zip
the line. Owen Hart zip line. Come on, dude. That's classic. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you so much. What's your favorite naked teen station? WRANT, bitches. Anyway. Baza wants to know, David Broom, creator of NBC's Biggest Loser, has stated that Global Force intends to produce new and on-air content 52 weeks a year. If this vision becomes reality, do you see such a venture being a viable threat to WWE's dominance? And could we be set up for a new war played out over the internet?
I hope not.
You know what?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to again play devil's advocate, because I think this is what they need down the line if something like this does happen and it picks up and has legs. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking I don't want to have like the whole Monday Night War thing. That'll never happen again. The format's different. The network television has changed dramatically in the States anyway. I can't speak for the cool-ass TV that they have over there, because they have, like, naked stuff on there all the time, apparently.
Wait. Who has naked stuff all the time?
Europe, man. They, all their commercials are naughty. I love it. Yeah, man. Anyway, so, you know, honestly, Boz, I would love to see it, but I don't know if it'll be a quote-unquote viable threat. But if this comes to pass, and now listen, Jarrett's putting a lot on the line. He hasn't had one show yet. He hasn't had one card, not one house show, not nothing. But yet, he gets New Japan to get a pay-per-view on?
I know a lot. I'll say this real quick. You know, I know a lot of people are shitting on Jarrett saying, hey, this ain't your show.
Right.
You know, you're piggybacking off of New Japan. But, you know, let me throw this out there. He got New Japan an American pay-per-view deal. That's pretty big.
Right.
That's not like, you know, regardless of, you know, whose promotion it actually is, he got them the deal.
Right.
Plain and simple. You know, and I know a lot of guys would, you know, fight tooth and nail to get that pay-per-view deal. Because, you know, whether, you know, regardless of how many, you know, viewers they get for it, it's still a major, you know, coup on his part to even get them on pay-per-view in America, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, booyaka shah to Mr. Jarrett. Old Slappy himself.
You could shit on it all you want. He's getting it done.
Yeah.
Getting it done. That's, you know what? And I don't care. His card could be crap, but he's promoting a New Japan show, which is already stacked.
Yeah.
And if the American commentators come correct and this gets legs and a decent buy rate, which it might get, I mean, it's going to be a four-hour event, Dave. So they'll probably sell it at $30. They're not going to sell it for more.
I hope it's cheap.
Well, if it's...
Part of me wants to watch it live when it's on.
I don't want to... Well...
I don't care if it's 4 a.m. I'll take the day off tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, but... I could take tomorrow off if I wanted to, but I'm not.
January 4th is a Sunday, brother. So, January 4th is a Sunday.
Let me take a look.
Yeah, it is. I got the calendar up right now.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so, I mean, if you want to, listen, I'm going to get it, but I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not. I'd rather make a day of it. Have a little birthday party for you. Maybe have some heads over, and we'll do it like that. We'll do it big.
We,
you know?
We can do that too.
We can have a Mega Powers birthday party. I'm calling it now. Mega Powers birthday party.
Slash Nitro party slash
New Japan Pro Wrestling. Everybody's invited,
including Lee Marshall.
Lee Marshall is also invited. Okay.
Well, he can do the road report from where the next Mega Powers birthday party is going to be at while we're currently at the Mega Powers party.
Okay.
Just like he did on Nitro.
Okay.
Which made no fucking sense. Like, I don't understand why they would have a Nitro going on, but then they would send Lee Marshall to wherever the next Nitro was going to be, where there's, like, nothing happening there because Nitro is not happening in that town yet.
You bite your tongue about Stagger Lee Marshall, sir.
Why are you... I'm just stating the obvious. That's what they did on the show. I'm not saying it was bad for him. He was doing his job. But it made no sense that they send him out to the next town to call in to Nitro saying, hey, I'm at the next town Nitro is happening at. I'm Stagger Lee Marshall. And then hang up. And then he would cry in his hotel room.
All right.
But luckily they have the phone number for the pizza place and they deliver to the room. And maybe they have a mini fridge.
Maybe.
Maybe they have the cups, and then he goes to the sink in the bathroom and gets water.
Possibly.
All right, which is more than likely the case.
All right, check this out. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a break real quick. I got to
We don't have any more questions.
You know
Wait,
what?
We got more questions.
I don't have any more questions here.
I have more questions.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys. I apologize. Go ahead. What's questions?
Well, I'll make it quick.
Go ahead, man.
Oh boy, we got quite a bit.
Do we really?
Yeah, we do.
All right, so
Gary Shaw has numerous amounts of questions. What would you have liked to have seen NWA take over completely? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that was like the whole thing. Like they were doing the one match on Saturday nights on WCW Saturday Night. Like they bought out time on Saturday night. And I think the only reason why they didn't go through with it, it actually was part of the plan, but they didn't go through with it because, believe it or not, it was not translating in better views. Like whatever portions that was happening during the show, they weren't getting over enough for the company to want to invest into a separate brand.
But it was well done. They did the whole separate brand with the sold out pay-per-view. That was pretty fun. I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it, but supposedly that pay-per-view didn't do that well.
It did well in my house. It bootlegged it.
Yeah.
Hot box.
NWO Sting, good or bad? I thought it was good.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that later on.
We'll talk about that later on. Okay. What's the next question?
Mr. X says, which diva has the nicest fart box in the history of the business?
Ooh.
Well, I'm going to have to say Trish Stratus after that picture that he posted.
Yeah. Trish Stratus. Dawn Marie gets notable mention, honorable mention, I should say, not notable, definitely honorable mention, and Jackie Gata had a fat shit wagon too. I like that.
She couldn't wrestle to save her life.
No, I didn't have to. What else? What other questions you got?
Would White Lightning and Black Thunder have joined the NWO? You're damn right.
Would you?
For life.
I know Tony C would have, but you're a flake, dude. You would probably like. Dude, I know you, man. I know you better now. You would probably be like, you'd have to have an hidden agenda. You'd have to be like Kurt Hennig. You'd be like the Kurt Hennig. You'd be like the Kurt Hennig of the team.
And slam the cage door on Flair.
Yeah, then you'd probably turn on Tony C. And start another friggin' Facebook war. And then you know, forget it. We'd be off the network. And then we'd be back on podcasting. And then you know whatever. But that's,
no, I would totally join the NWO.
I don't know, Dave. I don't know about.
I would be like Wolfpack Sting.
With the face paint?
Guys, it wasn't me.
with the face paint?
Yeah.
Awesome. What's the next question?
Last question. Who would you like to see from Justin Anderson? Who would you like to see past, present, future, given a live mic and no handcuffs to shoot on whatever they want on live television?
Shout out to Justin, by the way, in conclusive breakdown on Shining Wizards Network. Cheap plug. Honestly, and I've had this question's been asked to us already. I'll say it again. Paul Heyman. If Paul Heyman probably, you could probably do a 7-disc shoot, and he'd probably give you stories that are between him doing photography as a teenager in the garden, from to WCW to ECW. Forget it, man. If WWE, that dude is probably one of the greatest interviews you'll ever hear if they took the handcuffs off of him.
I got three guys.
I could think of a whole bunch of guys, but go ahead.
Ole Anderson.
Yeah, okay.
Billy Jack Haynes.
Why? He's all bitter and suing people, and he's... All right, go ahead.
That's why, because I want to just hear him be old.
Just babble? I have to shoot somewhere if you want. It's terrible.
Yeah. And Superstar Billy Graham.
See, they have the handcuffs off them already, though. They're just bitter old men, but okay. That's fair.
I just want to hear them, you know, I would like just to hear them be bitter old men... In the WWE.
Okay.
Going crazy.
Okay.
Wild and crazy and free.
Okay.
The wild horses, you know, maybe we'll ride them someday.
All right. Sounds fair. All right, let's take a quick break. And
I need a woo ticket.
You need a woo ticket?
Give me one of them woo tickets.
You got it, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast live on rantemradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards Network production, as always. We'll be right back.
Can I get one of those woo tickets?
Excuse me?
One of those woo tickets.
It's not woo, it's woo!
Woo!
Woo! Introducing Ric Flair's new woo!
off ticket for the North Carolina Educational Lottery with a top prize of $100,000. It's enough to make anyone say, woo!
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 Hey, kids. You like the show? You like the shirts that we're wearing? Well, we're selling them. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. We have three awesome styles. We have the original logo with artwork by Dean Stahl. We have the NES cartridge parody logo shirt. And the British-inspired World of Wrestling Turnbuckle Throwbacks Shiny Wizards Network shirt. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks t-shirt, man. What are you waiting for? Be the envy of all your friends at your next wrestling event. And, of course, the girls dig it. Chicks love a good throwback. I know. I'm living proof. There are many ways that you can support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Go to iTunes, search out the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media. Leave a review and download all the other fine programming that's on those networks. We're on Stitcher, we're on Buzzsprout.com, AudioBoom.com, and GeekLifeRadio.com every Saturday evening. Got Facebook? Hit us up on Facebook.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks and join our group. We're on Twitter, @TBuckleTBacks. Want to email the show? TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're on Rant EM Radio. We're on the Shining Wizards Network. It's entertainment here.
There is a scorpion deathlock applied to Luger.
By who? By Sting? No,
that's not Sting.
The NWO Sting.
They've got their own Sting, I guess. And a front face lock on Luger.
Luger's in a bad situation here.
Tell you what, Luger's in a lot of pain.
Well, they could cripple him right here. He could use the loose use of his legs if they hurt his back. He's in very, very bad predicament right here.
Wait a minute. Nick Patrick said he gave up.
Mr. Anderson was in there with him right there. I'm telling you now.
What does this mean now for
us? I cannot believe the NWO has won this war game, Tony.
Oh, does
this
he?
War game has ended with the NWO.
The winners of the war games representing the NWO, the New World Order.
This is unbelievable. And you know,
Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
That's right. Don't even have Sting. And only thing I could think of, had we trusted Sting, had the wrestlers in the dressing room trusted Sting, we could have won this thing.
It's too late now. What if? Too late now.
Luger just passed out from the pain. I don't think he really gave up. I think he just passed out from the pain of that scorpion deathlock.
Boy, there was no movement in his face and his hands or nothing. They had his back in trouble and his neck.
Yeah, Luger is seriously.
Look at him. Look at him trying to get to his feet.
He can't get up. His legs are damaged.
What a remarkable athlete, though. I mean, he passes out from the pain. He's crawling. He's screaming for Sting. Had we trusted Sting? Had they believed Sting in the dressing room? I believe it would have been a much different outcome.
Tony, they're going after him. They're going after him. They're going to finish him off right on the floor. Right in front of millions and millions of people. You're seeing the demise of Lex Luger at the hands of the NWO.
Have we seen the demise, though, of WCW?
I don't know. I don't know what this means.
Well, I can tell you what it means. It means a lot of the demands that they had asked for may have to be met right now by WCW.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Horsemen are fighting their hearts out right here.
Come on,
whatever
Rick.
Heart they got in them, I guarantee you.
Luger is still very, very hurt.
Yeah, Luger's hurt. I mean, I'm talking seriously hurt.
Everything he could do to crawl on his hands and knees, they attacked him again. Savage. Here's Randy Savage. Luger is out. Luger, as you can tell, is still prone.
Savage has got Hogan going back to the ring with him.
And he's gone right for Hogan. Nobody else. No other man.
The Giant is out on this end.
Look at the coward of Hulk Hogan.
Hogan trying to escape Savage.
No, what he's doing, he's setting Savage up. He is setting him up. Randy!
Turn around.
Turn around, Randy. Oh, my goodness, Randy.
Once again, they have outnumbered us all night, and they're getting ready to do it again.
And they've outsmarted us all year.
Oh, no.
Randy,
they win with numbers.
There.
Four on one.
with Hogan. Hogan wants the Giant to destroy him so he don't have to meet Savage at Halloween Havoc. Look at this. Look at this.
I tell you what, sometimes you just wonder what the hell it's all about. This is as sick as you can get.
I'm going to tell you what, Luger is really injured over here, guys.
Yeah, he's really out there.
We got guys down there on the floor we can see from our broadcast position. He is really injured.
And Savage is down, too.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Elizabeth is on her way to the ring.
Is Flair still at the ring or what?
I imagine.
No,
Flair is back here.
It's Elizabeth that's come to... She better get out of there.
NWO.
What is she doing here?
She's a member of the NWO, isn't she?
Come on, come on. What is she?
Oh, you know what's happening here?
She is begging Hulk Hogan
to leave Savage alone. She's still in love with the Macho Man.
It seems that way. She apparently still had another choke slam.
She couldn't stand to see all these people beat up the Macho Man. He's totally helpless in there.
And she's covering the Macho Man, begging these thugs to leave him alone.
So much water already under the bridge. What a disgusting sight this is right here. What a disgusting sight.
Oh, wait a minute. They are spray painting Elizabeth.
What a disgrace.
This is...
Hogan, you've dropped to new levels now. You're the lowest form of life I've ever seen.
That is a disgrace. What a disgrace, if you will.
Shockwave upon shockwave has been delivered at the doorstep of WCW.
Welcome back to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I did a little something different tonight. Normally I plug all our friends, and it's great, and I love them all. I love plugging all the shows, but I figured tonight...
But...
I had all this audio, and I was messing around with the network today. And I made a lot of clips...
So we had to, get rid of that British guy's show.
No, we like these guys. Dude, you can't, listen.
What?
They support us, we support them. It's a 50-50 thing. Your beef with the Brits has had nothing to do with the show talent. They're putting out some
actually,
good...
Actually, I do beef with him.
They're putting up some good friggin' shows over there across the pond.
I'm
especially,
sure they are.
What about NXT Cast is awesome. We love NXT Cast.
Why if they're British people, I have to give them trouble. That's it.
Dave, come on now. Be nice.
This is me being nice.
Dude, what if we get this gig in Jersey and there's British people on the card? What are you going to do? You going to hate on them too?
Yeah, of course.
See, now we're not going to have nice things.
Yeah, we can have nice things by keeping to the American way. Truth, justice, and liberty. Stars and stripes forever.
Right. All right, so we're back. Dave's rant on the British continues. We picked this a while ago, this throwback,
yeah.
and rightfully so. It's a delicious one at that. And again, if you guys came in a couple minutes before the show, I played everything leading up to it. I thought I did a pretty good job because I took all the promos and some of the NWO stuff. This was still new, fresh. The wounds were fresh. WCW had just gotten this shock a couple of months prior at Bash at the Beach. So now this is...
This is still fresh.
Yeah, definitely. This is September the 15th, 1996. The tagline is, "Want to play with the big boys, ... in a cage." It is World Championship Wrestling's annual War Games event, the Fall Brawl. It is 11,300 people in attendance.
11,000 people? That's Not many.
Well, that's big for a WCW card, considering they played in some shit arenas.
Well, plus they had the friggin' extra ring in there, so that ate up, I'm sure, like a couple hundred fans.
The venue was the Lawrence Joel Veterans Memorial Coliseum in...
the hell is Lawrence Joel?
Don't know, but he's probably a big person back in the day in Winston-Salem, North Kagalaki.
Winston-Salem, was that like Flair's third choice for his daughter's name? Charlotte was number one, obviously, but I'm sure like Greensboro may have been two.
Okay.
Winston-Salem, maybe that was the third choice. Maybe that's her middle name.
It's Michael Jordan country too, brother. It's where the I think that's where the Tar Heels.
He has his restaurant.
I think he has a restaurant?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, well, look out.
In Grand Central.
Oh, right, right.
Oh,
yes.
And if you remember.
Yes, 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 I do.
What's it called? When Flair was feuding with Hogan in the retirement cage match at Halloween Havoc a few years back in 94, Mr. T was a special guest referee.
That's right.
They were playing it off that Mr. T was seen with Ric Flair at a Michael Jordan's restaurant.
Right, right. I do remember that. Thank you for reminding me. I'm getting silly in my old age. But yeah, this is Winston-Salem is Tar Heel country, man. If you guys are college sports fans, the greatness that was Michael Jordan, James Worthy, a bunch of other players. All right. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. This is the Fall Brawl 1996, the War Games.
The Match Beyond.
Yeah, well, they ain't calling it that anymore, thank goodness.
Well,
but,
I don't know if you saw the last War Games, but that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway.
Your opening match of the card was Diamond Dallas Page and Chavo Guerrero.
Which, the first four matches were off the charts insane good.
Yeah, you know what? Well, the fourth match I thought was awesome. The fifth, yeah. I mean, yeah. Look at
the fifth. Well,
yeah.
Went back. We'll get to that match.
Yeah,
soon.
We'll get to that match.
But let me throw this in concerning Diamond Dallas Page. This was kind of like his quote unquote comeback. I don't know if this is like the time when he was doing DDP yoga just yet. I'm not sure.
You're right, Tony. See, this is Horse from Country. North Carolina. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But what's it called? To rewind a little bit, Diamond Dallas Page was he had Max Muscle as his bodyguard.
That's right.
And he had the Diamond Doll. And then he was feuding with Johnny B. Badd over the television championship.
Right.
Lost it to Johnny B. Badd.
Mm-hmm.
And then got into some like big, I don't know if they played it off as a divorce or what the deal was. It may have been in a match where, you know, if Diamond Dallas Page lost and he lost all his money and he lost to Johnny B. Badd. It was either Johnny B. Badd. Yeah, it was with Johnny B. Badd. Lost all his money. Went homeless. Faced the Booty Man.
Oh, Christ, yeah, because the Booty Man had Kimberly at that point.
Yeah, Kimberly had all Diamond Dallas Page's money.
And then had Beefcake, which made me sick because you have all this money, you're a good-looking piece, and
she's going for the Booty Man.
And you're hanging out with Plate in the Head, Ed Leslie.
Yeah, and she was the one that was coming down the aisle during his matches.
That's right.
So this was going on. I may be wrong with some of this, but this is basically the gist of it. Diamond Dallas Page like loses a loser leaves WCW match, is completely homeless. They're showing like videos of him eating out of garbage cans.
That's right. Yes, they were.
Every WCW Saturday night.
He literally wined and dined with Kings and Queens and sat in the alley and had ate pork and beans.
True. Oh. And Dusty Rhodes actually was his mentor in WCW.
That's right. Look here, that's right, Dadith. I was a plumber man. I was a common man.
Yeah, and he also told Diamond Dallas Page that you will never be the world heavyweight champion ever.
That's right.
That changed, but...
that's because Dusty didn't book it, that's why.
Yeah, and then out of nowhere, there was a secret benefactor for Diamond Dallas Page. I don't even know if they even revealed who the benefactor was, but he had new tights, a new attitude, new shoes, new Cadillac, new hat. However, that what the fuck is her name? Aretha Franklin or Patti LaBelle song goes. He had a new attitude.
It's Patti LaBelle.
Patti LaBelle.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling
he had
good
new attitude
from my head to my
which
shoes.
Matches.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the Battle Bowl ring from the Lethal Lottery.
He did.
And he was defending the ring, which was kind of strange because, well, they had rings for Battle Bowl winners, but there was nobody who ever defended it. So he was defending the Battle Bowl ring. And at this point in time, he had lost the ring to Eddie Guerrero. So Eddie Guerrero was the current, you know, Battle Bowl champion, even though he didn't win Battle Bowl. And he was not, and he was nowhere near close to being involved in this card for whatever reason. But Diamond Dallas Page was, and he was going against his brother Chavo, or his nephew Chavo.
Right, right. So DDP is back now with the new attitude. He's all Patti LaBelle'd out, and he had a good match with Chavo, I thought.
Yeah, this was a really good match. It was very back and forth. It was the new style of WCW, which, you know, to much to our chagrin now, you know, with all the lucha action that's going on, people doing some insane shit, people kicking out of finishers and stuff like that. This is really what brought it on. But at this point in time, more or less, you can basically categorize it as, you know, American Strong Style. These guys were doing some crazy lucha shit, but they were also doing like, there was like a tilt-a-whirl powerbomb during this match out of nowhere.
Right. They set the standard, and this is why WCW was entertaining, because they had these amazing opening matches.
But I will say this real quick for this match. One of the reasons why it was so good is because it still had elements of the old school, which meant the heels did very little, but like whenever they did that little, it would affect the faces massively.
Right, they sold enough.
Yeah, they sold enough. And whenever a face had to, you know, get one up on the heel, they had to do a hell of a lot more than whatever the heel did.
Simplicity, man. I spoke about this today on Danny's show. Simplicity. It's not... I'm sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, but that was a big, you know, reason why this match in particular was great, because Diamond Dallas Page, you know, despite them, you know, doing some awesome stuff, like there's a part where Diamond Dallas Page just kind of like jumps onto the top rope and hits Chavo with a devastating, you know, clothesline off the top. And it's like he wasn't normally doing these kind of things.
Right.
But, you know, despite things like that, he would do, you know, simple stuff. And, you know, it got over with the crowd. Like, they ate it up. He was still a heel, despite whatever he was doing, which wasn't that much compared to Chavo. Chavo was jumping all over the place.
Right.
And, you know, it worked. And there was even a... I don't even know when they got rid of the top rope rule. I know it took them a long time before they got rid of the top rope rule.
It was it was shortly after Bill Watts. Bill Watts was
no, it's still going on during this.
No, but not.
Watts was gone.
They didn't do it all the time though. They only did it like in certain matches. They only did it like on pay per views and on like Clash. They didn't do it on regular shows.
Yeah. Well, for this pay-per-view, the top rope rule was still in effect. You could throw somebody over the top rope. And there was a point where DDP threw Chavo over the top rope into the next ring. And Tony Schiavone and the rest of the crew, Heenan and Dusty, didn't know how to call it. Neither did the ref. Ref didn't call it at all.
Right. So Paige gets Chavito at 13:07 with a fresh diamond cutter for the win.
And, you know, I know everybody's going crazy about the Randy Orton out of nowhere RKOs, but
Diamond Dallas Page set the standard for that.
He was the only guy who was, well, first of all, what was it? It was Johnny Ace who was doing
the Ace Crusher. Yeah.
You know, before Diamond Dallas Page, Diamond Dallas Page was the second guy.
Right.
DDP was the guy who, you know, made it come out of nowhere. There's a part where Chavo's going for the backslide. All Diamond Dallas Page did was stomp him on the foot, spin Chavo around, diamond cutter, three count.
Yeah.
And that was like, it was very simple. It was a heel thing, stomping on somebody's foot. You know, who the hell does that anymore?
Right.
And Tony C's still going stinger, 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 but we're getting to that, man. But this is just a classic example, you know. Even though these guys were doing some crazy stuff like tilt-a-whirl, power bombs, and you know, springboards off the top rope, sentons, you know, whatever you want to call it, they were still doing a classic, you know, heel face match, and it worked.
Your next match was the shortest match on the card. Ice Train with Teddy Long versus Scott Norton in a submission match.
Fire and Ice had recently broken up.
Yep.
I don't even know. I can't off the top of my head recall why they broke up, but I'm pretty sure it was just, hey, you clotheslined me by accident during the match. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Some stupid bullshit like that.
You want to talk about strong style? This was all Scott Norton carrying Ice Train in this match. I was not a big fan of Ice Train at all. I mean, he had a nice look to him. He looked like a bodyguard for Criss Cross.
Come on, man. He went choo-choo.
He looked like a bodyguard for Criss Cross at one point. He had those the overalls.
Oh, my God.
And a funny hat. It was 1996.
Yeah, but it was the pants that were backwards. Did they have overalls?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, my God.
Ice Train actually, anything significant in this match before I?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of significance for this. For me, at least, like at this time, I was a big Fire and Ice fan. Teddy Long was making his comeback as a manager, so this was a big deal this was a return of Teddy Long. But one of the things that I wanted to throw out there, you know, concerning this match was, you know, both of these guys, they're not submission wrestlers, but these guys took, you know, a submission match, and they actually were doing submissions. Like, there was Boston Crab. There was a Fujiwara armbar from Ice Train. I didn't even know this guy even did these moves.
Why? Because it was Scott Norton probably in the back to say, hey, I just got back from, you know, hanging out in Japan. So.
And here's something called the Boston Crab. Check it out.
Check that out.
But for me, I found it, you know, it's not the greatest match on the planet, but the fact that these guys, you know, made an effort to make it a submission match. They're power wrestlers, you know. Ice Train, what are you expecting to see from this guy? A power slam. You know, some sort of slam. They're not really doing souples, by the way. They're just doing slams.
All right, go ahead, Soli. He said souple.
I'm saying it the right way, and if we get the gig with Jersey All Pro, you're going to be hearing Sue play for every match.
Jesus, yeah. Who would do play by play, and who would do color? Have we figured that out yet, or we haven't gotten to that point yet?
I think you would have to do the play by play. I would do the color.
I figured that. All right,
but you know, Ice Train hit Scott Norton with a full Nelson, but he lifts the dude up.
Yeah, he lifts him up.
He lifts him up high to the heavens. Teddy Long interferes. Ice Train locks Norton up in the full Nelson, lifts him up, throws him on the floor, and flash taps.
Yep, at 7:08 with the like, and you know, again, two big guys, two slabs of beef. got a couple of submission moves in there.
Yo, this is the fucking meat that Rocky was beating.
Speaking of meat and potatoes,
what was the name of the meat locker? Clover or?
Oh yeah, Paulie's spot. We have to
do an ad spot for there.
Yeah,
for
right.
The meat lockers.
All right. So now we're getting to the meat and potatoes of the card. They're really good matches. Your next match was Conan. At this point, he was with the Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah.
And he was also the AAA heavyweight champion at the time.
Which was known as the Mexican Heavyweight Championship.
Right. He defended his Mexican Heavyweight Championship against the Juice, Juventud Guerrera.
And in true WCW style, does not bring the belt with him to the ring.
Yeah. Well, Mike Tenay was very instrumental in explaining to all of us all the backgrounds of the guys that you don't normally see on TV. If you weren't that big of a fan, you didn't read the magazines every month, then yeah. Mike Tenay was your guide. And I know a lot of people to this day didn't know about Lucha, didn't know about Strong Style, didn't know about Europe. And when these guys were coming to WCW, they got a, you know, my friends, the casual wrestling fan, would get a history lesson.
Yeah.
Conan was the Triple H.
He was the professor.
Right. He was the professor. Conan was, at this point, a main player in Mexico. He had a, he was at the tail end of that novella he was in. He was, like I said, he was a champion. And he was very instrumental in bringing in all of the Lucha guys. He brought Rey in. He brought Hoovy in. Super Calo. He brought in
Psicosis.
Psicosis.
My man, El Dandy, the big Bryan Adams fan.
Right. El Dandy, the Vianos, a bunch of guys he brought in. I mean, he brought in half their roster at one point.
Yeah.
But this match.
WWF got the scraps.
This match was really good, dude. I enjoyed this match a lot.
Yeah, this was. How can I word it? It was basically Conan, K-Dog, you know, throwing Juventud to his death at times. There was like one point where Juventud bounces off the ropes and Conan just grabs him by the waist and throws him, you know, feet first to the floor.
Well, there was a 60-pound, you know,
weight difference.
Yeah, exactly. And even though Conan was a lucha, he was a heavy lucha. He wasn't 160 pounds like Hoovy and Ray and Psicosis was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a big difference. But, I mean, these guys, I mean, Lucha's a different animal. You know, Lucha doesn't date, I mean, they have big guys. Yeah. Like, remember Cibernético and Pedro Aguayo and all those other guys? Those guys were massive. They were big dudes.
Yeah. But, you know, to throw this out there real quick, and I think it was Dusty who brings it up later on in the evening. He's like, you know, this isn't a normal lucha match, and he's right.
No, it wasn't.
For the match that's coming up, that's, you know, with two lucha guys and with Conan and Juventud, this is not your traditional, you know, lucha libre match.
No,
this is a real hybrid. There's some lucha in there, but there's also strong style and there's American style.
Yeah, Conan. I mean, like Dave mentioned, he just throws Hoovy around. Hoovy gets a couple of offensive moves in, puts his couple of spots on. Conan obviously gets the momentum back, and he hits a fantastic Splash Mountain sit-out powerbomb. That was the
power drop.
It was a power. It's a powerbomb. But
well, they called it the power drop.
Yeah, they called it a power drop, but it's a powerbomb.
But one thing that I thought was pretty cool watching this event, you know, for me, like I'm for the most part a strict, like, hey, power bombs are a finisher. That's it.
Right.
If you power bomb somebody, they're done.
Yep.
But I enjoyed the fact that for most of these matches, a power bomb was a normal move. But you know, keep in mind the guys are actually selling the power bomb.
Yeah.
So when they're getting power bombed, you know, they may not be getting pinned for the three count, but they're laying down on the mat, you know, for an extended amount of time, selling the power bomb. Even if they're kicking out of it, they're still selling it. So I was perfectly fine with the fact that there was like 10 million power bombs in every match.
Your next match possibly could have been the match of the night.
This was my match of the night.
Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho. This started a long tenure of Benoit Jericho matches between WCW and WWF, WWE.
And these guys started feuding originally in Japan.
Yep.
They had a match against each other in the Super J Cup in 1995.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if that was their first time facing each other, but that's their first notable encounter.
Obviously, 94 is the tournament we all speak of, but I never saw 95. Was Benoit still Pegasus Kid at that point?
He was Wild Pegasus at this point. He didn't have the mask. Well, but he didn't have the mask in 94.
He didn't have the mask either, Pegasus. Right? Yeah, so he was Wild.
He was the Pegasus Kid when he had the mask. When he did not have the mask,
he was Wild Pegasus, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and Jericho was obviously Lionheart.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they had a great match, J-Cup 95. We'll have to do those down the road.
Yeah, we should, actually. We should do that.
We haven't touched any of those yet.
No, we will. We will. All right, but, I mean, the match is, I mean, really good.
This match was hard-hitting as hell.
Yeah, you know what? It was, you know, The knock on Benoit, from what I read from different places, was his performance was always top notch, but he was a stiff guy in certain spots. And if even though the match looked like it moved along, guys had a hard time with him because, I mean, he would sell it, but when he hit you, he like legit beat you up. I remember guys talking about like he would like he put it. I mean, he idolized Dynamite Kid.
Yeah,
Dynamite Kid was the same way. He broke people's noses, jaws.
Oh, hey, the dude used to do the diving headbutt head to head, and he bust his own head open from doing it. So, but you know, something real quick about Chris Benoit, like on how fucking tough this dude was. I forgot what year it was. I was doing like hardcore research. I was even asking people on this thread. I think like about a year ago or so, like if they knew of this one match, because there was like a string of like 6-man or 8-man tags that were happening on Raw, like almost like every week, and they were all phenomenal. And it would always be like Shawn Michaels teaming up with Chris Benoit and some other guys going against Evolution. And they're like on my way to finding the match that I was trying to find. There's like one match where, first of all, anytime that Ric Flair was in the ring with Chris Benoit, it was an automatic chop contest. But Chris Benoit would just beat the shit out of Ric Flair. Like, there was, like, one match in particular where he chopped him so hard.
He's purple. I remember that.
No, he wasn't just purple. He started bleeding from the chest.
Yeah, he broke skin, yeah.
He broke the goddamn skin.
So...
But the match that I was looking for was one where he's chopping Ric Flair in the corner, and Ric Flair is, like, having whiplash, and... Chris Benoit is just like screaming at the top of his lungs while he's doing it. And it's just like one of the most vicious things that I've ever seen in my life in the pro wrestling ring.
It's crazy.
Besides New Jack, you know, knifing friggin' mass transit.
Anyway, good, really good stiff spots. Really good chain wrestling in this match. Nothing out of the ordinary from these two guys.
Wait a second. There is something that's completely out of the ordinary for...
Where? In this match?
There's a quote where he back suplexes Jericho to the friggin' floor.
That's not... The apron. No, that's not really out of the norm.
I've never seen them do something like that.
Benoit? You've never seen any of these... Dude, first of all, go back and watch his ECW stuff. When him and Malenko were in the triple threat, they had a run in Florida. Where they would fight the Tasmaniac, or they would fight Public Enemy, and Benoit was infamous for beating guys up like that. Like,
yeah, he powerbombed Sabu off a table off the top rope.
Yeah, but he back soup. I remember there was one spot. I think it was against Public Enemy. Rocco Rocca. One of them hit. they had a shovel. And they hit Malenko. Benoit grabbed, I think it was Johnny Grunge, and just, I mean, back suplexed him to, like, Fort Lauderdale. You know?
The core of the earth.
Yeah. So, for me, that's not out of the ordinary, you know?
Well, I know what you're talking about, but this was just something that just seemed completely, like, unsafe. And just, like, why would you... Because he literally was... Benoit is on the apron, Jericho's still in the ring. And he just lifts him for a back suplex and just, like, throws him, like, he just dumps him over his shoulder like he's a piece of garbage.
Dude, he broke Sabu's neck like that. I don't...
Yeah, by accident.
Right, but, like, he was reckless. That he was the crippler. That was his M.O. I mean, how he lasted that long and how people didn't die.
And he would always say, like, how he would cry about these kind of things. Like, dude, why are you crying about it when you're doing it every night?
He was a tortured soul, man.
Absolutely.
He was very much tortured.
But this match was insane. Dusty was calling Benoit like a major superstar down the road.
Yeah.
One thing that I'd like to point out about this, I had a gripe with Chris Jericho. I could not stand this guy. I thought he was way too goody two shoes. I hated him in ECW. Didn't know what he was bringing to the table. I hated him when he was in WCW. Just seemed like to me, he seemed like a Kofi Kingston, just happy to be there. Despite despite the fact that he's way more talented than Kofi Kingston,
Jericho was better than as a heel when he had Ralphus. Yeah. That was great. I think Jericho.
I did not like Jericho until he started throwing the tantrums on Nitro. When that happened, that's when I saw the guy's personality, and I was like, okay, he's funny.
And he'll even admit this that he was a better heel. I mean, it brought out his personality, and that's him. That's him in real life, apparently, and that's cool. I dig that.
Yeah,
I dig that.
So, and the fans were actually booing him during this match. Just to give you insight, that I wasn't the only one who was like, you know, he's talented, but he's a dork. So, due to his dorkiness, Chris Benoit hits him with a back superplex for the win. And the fans were on their feet. Like, despite how great the other matches were, the fans got off their feet. And they gave these guys a standing ovation for this match.
Right. No, at 14:36, he got the win. So, with a back suplex. Superplex, I should say.
Yeah.
All right.
The move that he beat the great Sasuke to get the first J Cup, Super J Cup, in 94.
Your next match was the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. Champion Rey Mysterio Jr., they were calling him Jr. at the time, against Super Kalo.
Super Califragilistic Expialidocious.
Super Califragilistic. Yeah.
Heenan called him that, and then Dusty's on a tear the entire night.
Yeah.
And he's like, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
I there was so many. I couldn't record everything. I couldn't go through every match. It was time consuming. But yeah,
there's a lot of great Dusty quotes.
A lot of Dusty at this point was calling the pay per views for them. There was
Saturday night. Yeah, him and Tony Schiavone did Saturday night
and the pay per views
on the mothership.
Right, on the mothership, if you will.
And there was. Dusty, I could tell Dusty at this point was starting to get full of himself because he kept referring to whatever he was saying as roadisms.
Yeah.
So he was starting to, get on his high horse, and that horse's back was hurting with his fat ass on it.
Right.
But, there's lots of roadisms this evening.
Yeah, I couldn't get all of them. And then, you know, of course, they split up Raw. I mean, on Nitro with the first hour was it? They had Schiavone and I forget who. Was it Schiavone and somebody else? Then they had on in the next hour, they had Larry Zbysko.
Yeah.
And then they had Schiavone, Mike Tenay, and Bobby Heenan on Nitro.
Oh, on Nitro? Oh, yeah, but that was like down the road.
No, that was during these.
This time, 96. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten that far. Like, again, like, there was so much stuff that was going on at that time, it was hard to keep up.
Yeah, the match was good. I mean, it was typical Lucha. I mean, you want to get into this, or you want
to... Yeah, there were a few really sick, gross moments that I was like, oh shit, they're doing that.
more negligence on the Luchas? Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, complete negligence. And, again, keep in mind, like, these guys were just trying to outdo each other. And even it was either Schiavone or Rhodes who was saying like these guys are not going to be able to walk when they're 30 and Rey Mysterio isn't that old and he's pretty much washed up.
Yeah, Rey's my age and he could barely walk. He has no knees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He barely had knees like around this time, according to him.
Well, Pete, I have to understand too. He was wrestling like in junior high school. You know what I'm saying? So at that point, by the time he got big, he was already in the game for almost a decade at that point.
Yeah, and when you are a guy like him in the ring, you got a friggin' major adrenaline rush, and regardless of how your body feels, like there's going to be a part where you just don't feel pain because you're so into what you're doing. And but there were a few like really gross moments, mainly on Super Kalo's part.
Yeah, well, he's a Rudo, so.
Yeah, he's named after a rap group who... christened his name in the ring, according to Mike Tenay. No, it wasn't Mike Tenay, it was Schiavone who talked about it.
Right.
But he does a top rope drop kick to Rey Mysterio on the floor.
Yep.
First of all, when you're doing a drop kick, you're not really hurting the other dude. You're basically just throwing your body in the air and falling on the floor.
Right.
So imagine doing that from the top rope, 15 feet high up in the air to the floor. And he does a senton to Rey, who's lying on the floor.
Yep. Yep. I've seen this already, so it wasn't like, it was a great match, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Rey hits a springboard from one ring to the other. before he hits Super Kolo. I mean, this see what bothers me about Lucha is kind of like what bothers me about the strong style in Japan. They have these fantastic move spots, move sets in the match, and then a shitty finish. You know, like here, like Mysterio pins Super Kolo with a Hurricanrana, like whatever. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah.
But like, and then like in Japan, you'll see a 15-minute clinic, and then he'll pin him with like a European elbow to the face. You know.
Well, there was a short arm scissors during this match.
Yeah, but I've seen that. But that was the Dean Malenko staple. You know, it was like I mean there was nothing again.
That's Super Kolo.
Super Kolo is a good. He's all listen. A third of the Rudos were – they were supposed to be better more of a risk-taker anyway. If you watch AAA or CMLL, a lot of the Rudos took the most risks and dives and stuff like that. Well, now, I'm not saying that what do they call the faces there? They call them technicos. The technicos didn't – they were stationary, but a lot of guys didn't start. This started the technicos doing more. They got younger. They got quicker. The 90s set the standard now for, you know, from Mexico and Japan too. They all, like guys like Ultimo Dragon went over there, and you know he set the standard. You know these guys.
So basically, what you're saying, this is the last time that we ever saw a short arm scissors in wrestling.
No, this is the only time you'll see it, because guys stuck to the basics, and then the other guys didn't. You know, a lot of guys, they want this started the whole revolution of, I got to get my spots in.
Yeah.
When these guys came over here, they were like, listen, and I know this for a fact, that they probably told these guys, listen, you know, you got to, you know, do a little more tonight, you know, entertain us.
Yeah.
Give me 20 minutes. Give me 16 minutes. Well, this was almost 20 minutes, so 16 minutes, so.
Yeah. But they followed the crowd best they could.
Yeah.
It's still a great match.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, it was a great match. Again, it's nothing out of the ordinary for me. It was like, oh, you know,
yeah, double rope springboard Hurricanrana for the win. Yep. That was Rey Mysterio's big move, even though like he did it a million times throughout the match.
Again, that's why I hated some of the finishes. It was like these great moves, and then you would get these shitty finishes. So I mean,
but he needed, but that was his finishing move, the Hurricanrana.
Yeah, he did the springboard from one ring to the other, and then he hit him with the.
But it's he just like needs that good snap.
Yeah,
he does the Hurricanrana, because then he has his weight on the guy's shoulders.
Right,
he gets the three count.
The momentum gets the three count. So,
yeah.
All right, your next match is for the WCW World Tag Team Championships. At this time, your champions were Harlem Heat with Sister Sherry.
Again, Kenny Cole.
That's right, baby.
With my Uncle Rob.
Uncle Rob and Parker.
The Colonel,
with Sister Sherry,
and apparently he had a 12-inch mule too.
Did he?
According to Missy Hyatt, Mr. X brought this. Is bringing this up in the chat room, and I do remember her talking about this.
Oh, I got
there's
it.
Actually this really trashy video on YouTube where she talks about wrestlers' penis sizes.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta see this.
And she's looking like friggin' Cornelius from the Planet of the Apes. Talk about guys' dick sizes.
Nova. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Anyway.
Get your penis off my face, you damn dirty ape.
Get your filthy...
You damn dirty colonel.
Get your filthy cock off me, you damn dirty colonel. Get off me. Get your cock off me.
Yeah, so he was in the 12-inch mule club along with Tom Jones.
The mule club. The mule club. That's awesome. Oh man, it's awesome.
The mule club.
Ron Jeremy's the president.
The
mule club.
Anyway, I have no notes for this match because it sucked.
Yeah, I mean,
the only notes I have is Dusty Rhodes yelling, this clubberin.
Yeah, Booker T.
The master's a clubberin.
Booker T pins Knobs after Sherry interferes and he hits Knobs with Dave's uncle's cane. So
he hits him with the 12-inch mule and gets the win.
With the 12-inch mule.
Colonel Colonel Rob forgot to Uncle Rob, Uncle Colonel forgot to zip up during
Uncle
the match.
Colonel Rob Powers.
He got him with the Elvira Stitcher for the win.
I smell a new t-shirt, the Mule Club.
Colonel Rob and Tom Jones are on the back of the shirt along with Ron Jeremy.
No, we can't put them all on there. We can just the Mule Club. Just get a mule's head.
Yeah.
The Mule World Order.
There's enough world orders out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, we'll just stick to the Ike World Order.
It's just going to be the Mule Club.
The Mule Club. Like the Bullet Club. Yeah, that's what we'll do. The Mule Club. We'll get the Bullet Club shirt. We'll take their logo and call it the Mule Club.
Oh,
the Bullet
God.
Club.
Drugs.
That's awesome.
Instead of the bullets, it's...
Instead of bullets, it's a mule head.
Yeah.
That's it. We're not going to put any genitalia on there. Kids have to. Kids got to wear these shirts. Come on.
Shit,
come on, Dave.
Your little Mikey's got to wear one of these shirts.
That's right. We're not putting genitalia on my son's wrestling
Mule Club shirt.
On my son's wrestling attire. Exactly.
Okay, so there'll be no genitalia on the Mule Club t-shirts.
No, there won't be. Your next match is the Giant against Randy Savage. I was a bit disappointed. I didn't like Randy Savage in WCW. I wasn't not a fan of him at all.
Oh, he was still good.
He was okay. He was okay. I didn't say he was terrible. I just, you know. Matt says there is a dead Mule Club. A dead Mule. Well, nobody's dead in our club.
Yeah.
Well, these guys are still alive. Is Rob Parker still alive?
Yeah, I took a photo with him not too long ago.
That's right.
Why is that offensive? Why are you hitting the incorrect bell or whatever it's called?
Because he's got a big mule.
So whenever something offensive or somebody has a big mule, then they get the bell.
Why not? It's our show. Anyway.
And then, Rene Goulet and Tony Garea come out in their suits and try to stop him.
Oh, please. Yeah.
They try to contain the mule. But Savage wasn't that bad in WCW. I understand your gripe because he did all his best stuff in WWF.
Oh, wait. Mr. X just posted the higher video on the page. Thank you. That'll be some nice...
Yeah, they're putting up fucking pictures of dicks on this on the fucking board.
That's awesome.
It's like 14 minutes long if you need to hear about... you know, Dirty Dick Slater's penis size for 12 minutes.
I think it's funny because she looks like a fucking a color form now with that face.
Yeah, she's got her big ass mouth like open wide for Colonel Rob to park his mule in there.
Matt says there's a National British Bird and Mule Club.
Well, it makes sense that the British are into that kind of shit.
He loves to meld Dinah's bell. That's right, baby. Alice, Vic Tieback in effect, baby.
90210.
Oh, Christ on a cracker. Okay.
So...
Giant, Randy Savage.
But this was a great match.
Well, I thought late in the match, Hogan comes to ringside, right?
Well, wait a second. Before we get to that, I want to mention the Giant puts a fucking Boston Crab on Savage. And it's like, what the hell is going on here? How come Savage is not tapping out to this? But... It happened. I thought that was really cool. Want to bring that up because that wasn't something that he was normally doing.
Yeah, I guess I should have mentioned that too.
But to see him do something like that was pretty cool. But I thought it was funny that Savage slams the Giant in the middle of the ring. The crowd leaps to their feet. And who the fuck else but Terry Bollea, Mr. Hulk Hogan, is deeply offended by this. I'm sure not because it was a NWO member, but he's the only dude who's slamming bigger dudes.
Right, so Hogan comes to ringside.
He hits him with the fucking elbow off the top rope.
Savage is the elbow on the Giant, right? Savage then leaves the ring to chase Hogan, and he was attacked by Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, right? Who knocked Savage out with a chair. Nick Patrick arguing with the Giant at this point, with all that's going on. Of course, he doesn't see anything, and the Giant gets the pin on the falling Savage. And then the rest of the NWO carried him back to the ring.
Yeah.
So that was the 7 minutes and 47 seconds of the setup now to...
So wait, what was faster, the submission match or this match?
One second. I'll tell you right now. I think this like beat him by like a second or something like that.
I'm curious.
7:08. Yeah, so no, Ice Train was still the shortest match.
Okay.
Right. So, all right. So now your main event, the War Games, the match beyond. Team NWO, Hollywood Hogan, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and the NWO Sting.
Well, wait a second. You gave it all away.
Oh yeah. All right. So I'm sorry. Hollywood Hogan, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash.
We have to backtrack on what happened.
Let's backtrack.
The backstory.
Okay, versus Team WCW, which was, of course, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, Lex Luger, and...
Sting!
Right? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, guys, it wasn't me.
Okay. So,
but there was attack on Luger previously on Nitro by Sting.
Let me paint the brilliant part
on WCW. They didn't have the camera too close to this supposed Sting,
right? Because the weather was inclement. They had a back. It was a limousine. Guys running out.
There's always limousines pulling up on Nitro.
Yeah, of course. So they run out and they go. Luger gets out there, and a man that really, it was Sting, because Dave said, they didn't put the camera on him too much. And there's this...
camera was far away. It was raining.
Right.
Cats and dogs.
Right.
Together.
Right. So this Sting and now the NWO are jumping.
So everybody thought Sting was in the NWO. I thought this was hilarious. They do the pre-match interview. Ric Flair is going berserk, and then Mean Gene's talking to Lex Luger.
Yeah, I've known Sting for years. I played it in the beginning of the show.
I just want to recap it.
Oh, go ahead.
He's like, I've known Sting for years, and I trust him. And that was him who attacked me,
right?
Which was hilarious that he fucking sold Sting up the river in a second. Meanwhile, he's completely wrong, which we'll get into. But, keep in mind, Luger was fucking with Sting the entire time that when he came back to WCW. Since coming and challenging Hogan for the title, winning the tag titles from Harlem Heat, he cheated behind Sting's back for them to win the tag titles. And... now when Sting, supposedly turns his back on Luger, Luger's like immediately like, oh, it was totally him who did it. I've known him since the dawn of time, and it was totally him who did it.
Well, during the Team WCW doubting the allegiance, Sting abandons Luger, right?
Yeah.
Right. So now Flair and Anderson shortly entering the ring after the match becomes a 4-on-3 handicap match.
Yeah.
Right?
No, there's nothing crazy happening.
No.
Specifically during War Games, the match beyond. Well, the match beyond is not until everybody's in the ring.
That's the match beyond when the last member's in. So.
Yeah. So everybody's in there. They're just beating the shit out of each other. There's nothing special, nothing to really recap about what was going on. They're just beating the hell out of each other. Fake Sting comes out. The fans immediately know it's a fake Sting. They have the camera on him for like a second. But you already hear boos. You already hear fans chanting, "We want Sting." Meanwhile, Dusty and Shivani and all them and Heenan, they're all buying the fact that, this is Sting. They're like, oh, it's Sting. He turned his back on WCW. He's a turncoat. The turncoat Sting, the franchise. And then when the real Sting comes out, everybody like goes berserk. And Dusty Rhodes is having an orgasm saying, "That's Sting! Oh yeah, it's Sting!" And Sting clears house. you know, one little thing that I want to bring up that, you know, you may or may not have noticed. The fake Sting had black boots.
That's right.
The real Sting had white boots.
That's right. That's
classic,
right.
You know, good cop, bad cop.
You
cowboys, villain.
You just stole my thunder. I had those notes written down as well.
That's why we're tag team partners, Phil.
That's why we are the best tag team on the planet right now.
That's why we are the new generation of sports journalism.
The new generation.
That's why this is where the big boys broadcast.
That's right. This is where the big boys broadcast.
On the Rant and Shining Wizards Network.
Goddamn right.
So that's now, why Joel Gertner is begging us to be on our team.
Thank you, Joel. All right, so Team Throwbacks now has Joel Gertner. This is pretty fresh. All right, yeah. Now
he's the new recruit for the Ike World Order or the Mule Club.
The Mule Club. That fucking shirt's gonna be awesome.
The Elvira Stitcher.
Anyway, so NWA Sting.
NWO Sting.
I'm sorry, and I can't even talk. I got the Mule Club image in my head.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well,
the NWO.
What the fuck?
I'm just the logo is gonna be badass, man. Matt said in the chat room. I can't wait. Anyway, so NWO Sting and Hogan, they forced Luger to submit. As the NWO Sting had the Scorpion Deathlock locked, and Hogan held him down with the front face lock as they played the rear naked choke as
Hogan's using one of his MMA moves on him.
Right. So that now the cage comes up and.
But wait a second! You didn't bring this up.
Okay.
And I thought it was genius on WCW's part, which. You know, there really wasn't too many genius moments in WCW history, but no. They actually pulled a nice little WWF thing, and Nick Patrick actually called it early.
What?
I don't know if you caught it, but he called it early because he wasn't revealed as the NWO referee just yet.
No, not just yet.
He called it early.
Yeah, he pulled it Danny Davis.
Despite the finishing move being actually pretty devastating. He called it early, and Pee Wee Anderson actually goes up to him, and he's like, oh, the match is over? And he's just like, Nick Patrick's just motioning for the bell to ring. And Pee Wee Anderson's like, okay. But, like, the body language on the referees was perfect.
Yeah.
He told the story right there without the commentators picking up on it.
Yeah, the 90s Danny Davis is Nick Patrick.
Yeah, with the fucking ski mask. Then Luger's on the floor calling out, Stinger! Stinger!
Yeah.
Like a bitch.
So now the match is done.
Got beat with a shoe inside of a limousine.
Right, so the Stinger, the cage comes up. Randy Savage comes out to attack Hogan. Why Savage was not in this match is beyond me.
Well, he had to extract revenge on the Giant.
I know, but he could have came out and helped the crew. And I mean, Savage does get involved.
Yeah, after the cage was
lifted. After the cage, yeah. So Savage comes out to attack Hogan, only to be beaten down by the entire NWO. And
beat down.
This is heinous. Dusty Rhodes was appalled. I guess 10 years of beating up a baby doll he forgot about. Because Miss Elizabeth was also.
I
would tip my hat to a lady if I saw one. That's right. You put your hands on this $150 lid, I will slap them nips to the side of your face. Anyway, so now Miss Elizabeth comes out to save her man, and she was attacked, and she came down to plead with Hogan to stop. Mm. And in true NWO fashion, everybody got spray painted.
Yeah, and which was that's what made Hogan, despite him like still acting cheesy as hell, which actually you know helped him to be more you know over as a heel with the fans because people were chanting Hogan sucks, which was perfect. You want them to fucking hate you, and the fact that they spray paint NWO for life on Elizabeth's dress,
yeah,
Hogan spit on her,
yeah.
Giant is barking at her like a dog.
Well, yeah, they do a lot of spitting and spraying these first couple of months.
Yeah.
If you've noticed. If you watched the couple of the Nitros that were leading up to it, they had the Giant spit on the Nitro sign and Hogan spitting on people, and that is spitting on people at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, at this point, it was still disrespectful. Guys weren't really doing that during matches.
Right.
So when you saw it, it was a big deal. I loved how Tony Schiavone and his cummerbund in disgust said, can we get somebody to get her out for crying out loud?
Yeah. Tony Schiavone, always the guiding light.
Yeah. And I think one of them said, like, in true NWO fashion, they celebrate by attacking a lady. Like, she, like, turned her back on friggin' Savage not too long ago.
Mr. X says, I bet Liz had a nice clam box.
I bet she did.
She was a good-looking broad, man.
She looked like she was perfection from head to toe.
Yeah.
Even during her drugged-out days.
I'm sure she kept it tight until she hit the, you know.
Until she was Bischoff's bitch.
Yeah, pretty much. All right.
Until she was hanging out with Luger at the house. Yelling, Stinger! Stinger!
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our throwback. That is episode 93. Like I mentioned, we're 7 episodes away from the big 100.
The big one. We're coming for you, Elizabeth.
The big one. I want to thank all the fans for looking out for us. It's been a fun ride, man. I'm having a blast, especially today, tonight. I mean, you guys have been so interactive on the page, coming to my rescue.
When retarded fans attacking you.
Yeah.
And I'll say this, like, I'm really grateful, you know, like, say the Jersey All-Pro thing doesn't work out. Like, just the fact that people were immediately jumping on that, sending messages, was really cool.
I still can't get over the fact that people actually listen to this.
And I'm just,
Dave and I are just stoked about that. We really appreciate it.
Joel Gertner's trying to get on our coattails.
Yeah, dude, it's been a fun ride, and we're having a blast. And I know it's going to be a hectic couple of months with me anyway.
Yeah.
Personally and professionally, but we're going to do this. We're going to knock it out and give you the best in throwback wrestling. We have a lot of stuff planned for you for the end of the year, for the upcoming year. Dave and I have a lot of good ideas. And speaking of ideas, Dave mentioned about the contest last week. There's been an entry already. So I'll give you his name right now. I'm not going to read his.
Oh, we'll take care of the entries.
Yeah,
when the deadline is there.
Yeah, you got.
But I will post it again. The contest is, I put up this random backstage photo of the Undertaker, Slick, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Papa Shango, and Virgil, and the contest is, you have to create storyline for these guys as a faction. They can be face, they can be heel, they can be whatever. You make up a name for the stable, put them in a storyline, and you got to create how they break up or how they die.
So we have one entry already. You could email your entries to turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com.
Only through the email. Yeah. Those are the only ones that count.
Yeah, we're not taking them on the Facebook, so do it through the email. This way Dave and I can print them out and we could, you know, check them out accordingly. We have one entry already. And again, best one gets a prize.
Yeah.
All right.
And again, the members of the stable are the Undertaker, the Reverend Slick, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Papa Shango, and Virgil. They have to be in a stable together.
Right. All right. So that's going to do it for us. Of course, join us every week on The Rant. On Tuesdays, you have AA and Tony C at 8 p.m. You have us, obviously, at 9 p.m. On Saturdays, you have the Wrestling Call-In Show, Mr. Will.i.am, Morgan, and Rage. On Sundays, you got the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan. You have the Rexplex. You have the Lex Experience. Shout-out to Jake and Sweaty Eddie. We have T-shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com. I guess we're going to have, like, two more now coming in.
Yeah.
Of course, The Shining Wizards Network, 2.5 Wrestlers, Inconclusive Breakdown, Pro Wrestling 101, Apex, The Neck Breakers, Dave Destruction, Thursday Night Destruction, Our Brothers of Midnight Jury, and of course, our brothers.
The Mule Club.
And the Mule Club, and our brothers, the Shining Wizards. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, RantEMRadio.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, all the nonsense. You know how to get us. That's going to do it for us, Dave. You want to get into our song of the week?
Yeah, this is one of my favorites that I listened to when I wanted to be falsely accused of rape by a 16-year-old. And I'd like to think that this is what this song is all about.
Okay, so with that being said, guys,
see with Wrestling Holds.
Right, Wrestling Holds by Jared
King. The Rape and Wrestle Connection. This is what this song is from.
On behalf of the Mega Powers, your boy Phil Ray bidding you adieu. Don't get the clap. Don't get arrested. Take care of your significant others. Be kind to animals. And we'll be back.
Pay your alimony.
That's right. Pay your alimony. Pay your car note, bitches.
And buy me ice cream.
Good night, kids.
Gentlemen, and welcome to this three-fall, winner-take-all, no-holds-barred Friday night match. In this corner, the luscious Susie Q, tonight's challenger.